I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
New York Times reported in October 2018 have repeatedly shown that they are willing to use the government's prestige and power to help their friends and relatives make money. While the rank and file Americans, the Fox News MSNBCers, duke out their ideologies over Thanksgiving dinner, the billionaires have taken over the Monopoly board, and the board is America. Scott Pruitt, Donald Trump's first head of Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, joined Washington with a net worth of $3.2 million. Despite being a millionaire, he wasn't a billionaire, and thus Pruitt was somewhat lampooned in media circuits as the poor kid of the administration. He knew the billionaire playbook, though, and he used the EPA as his personal expense account, using thousands of taxpayer dollars to travel first class and for a security detail, even taking his taxpayer-funded bodyguards to Disneyland. He argued that traveling first class was necessary because in America's toxic political climate, being seated with coach passengers endangered his. He spent the public's money to use military planes in non-military zones. Pruitt used his influence as the head of the government agency for personal advancement, a clear conflict of interest, to inquire about acquiring a franchise license in a fast food chain for his wife, as well as the spoils of the Gilded himself when he accepted tickets to the 2018 Rose Bowl to watch his beloved Oklahoma Sooners from an agency that represents oil and gas companies, the very industry over which Pruitt was supposed to have oversight. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday morning coming to you bright and early. And we also have a very special guest in the house. It's my man JL Covan. What's going on?
Hello, everybody.
It's good to see you, man. I know you had a heck of a week the last couple of weeks, man. You know, before we we're gonna get into all that, but before we get into that, I'm just gonna tell everybody about the excerpt from the book and all that stuff. So, the book is Full Dissidents by Howard Bryant. Great fucking book. And the chapter that this is in, I believe, is called Open Season. And it's about the Trump administration and how it's open season on the American public, from these grifters, and how much unregulation and just straight up fleecing of the American populace is taking place in the last, just the last 4 years. It's technically not even been 4 years, from our pockets to theirs, and it just breaks down like agency by agency. You know, it talks about Betsy DeVos, you know, Scott Pruitt. It talks about a lot of different people, and I think it just kind of resonates in moments of crisis like this that the people in charge of the hen house are the wolves, and they never had any plan on governing this country. There's never a plan on like protecting their people, any of the things we consider obligations of the office. None of that was part of what they were doing. And so I think you know, like, it's not a bug, it's a feature when it comes to, you know, the amount of disarray that's happening right now in front of everybody. You know, when we don't have a clear plan from anyone, because I think the plan was to disrupt and dismantle and then fleece, you know. So, you know, agencies that typically were there to protect us have been bankrupted. You know, they've taken away the budget for certain agencies so that they essentially can't do their jobs. And then agencies that were there to keep corporate businesses in check, they're completely run roughshod over. It's like, no, put a thief in charge of that, someone who has a who has a built-in incentive to deregulate that industry. And then with turnover in this administration, they'll be gone in a couple of months after they've already broken all the levees on the flood of, like, you know, here, let's open up fracking. Anyway, guys, I guess I got fired. You guys have a good one. I'm gonna go over here and collect my money.
Yeah, enjoy that fire water.
Yeah, enjoy your dirty water. I'm out. So I think right now just feels kind of poignant, and it makes me want to highlight these moments from this book of like, yeah, so these are the people in charge. So when you see like states fending for themselves, as we're going to get into, and in some cases competing against the federal government for supplies, and when you feel like there is no plan except to not have a plan, it's real, and it's by design. All right, let's let's get into the major thing that everybody wants to, oh wait, I gotta play the song, hold up, wait, one second.
Music,
almost didn't play the song, but we'll get into, you know, what everybody's really, guys, okay, we've all seen the videos at this point, but yeah, I just thought that watching like Donald Trump give his press conference every day, and you know, you see like Jared Kushner, who doesn't know how to handle, or maybe he does know how to handle, the federal stockpile of medical supplies and shit. You know, it just you know, I think there's a lot of people out here going, this doesn't make sense, what are they doing? And I'm like, oh, it makes sense for them.
Yes,
you know what I mean, like you're thinking of it as it doesn't make sense because they're not doing their job. What do they think the job is, and what do you think the job is? Because tradition went out the window when they elected Trump,
of course.
You know,
a lot of people, they did not understand why so many people were highly upset. Roger can tell you I was mad for almost a goddamn a year or two from him being elected, just every day just mad.
And I think also the idea of electing a businessman sounds smart to these like either like libertarian or Republican people that think business is the answer to everything. But,
or it sounds smart to people who still call men who wear suits, like even when they're in their 50s, they're like, he's a businessman. I'm like, what are you in first grade?
Yeah.
That's like, you know what I mean? Like, so like if you wear a suit and walk around in a tie, you're like, he's a businessman. Like they definitely say it like, my dad's a businessman.
Right.
Like they definitely have that mentality still. Like he's just a big thing that does something really important. And they're like, very simply awed by it.
It's like,
that's what it is. He's a shitty businessman. He's a shit, like, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
jump in full
throat, but the, it's like, I've been doing these comedy videos and these cameos this week, so I've been in full, like, buffoon Trump mode.
Mm-hmm.
But these press conferences, like, what you were describing with Pruitt, it's like, Trump, nobody legit really wanted to be associated with Trump when he came in. Now, some of them have backed him now because they see it as like money and judges and whatever and electability. But he couldn't get the A-list team. Like at least George Bush, you can hate on what he did, but he had plenty of like qualified, experienced people who knew like government and what they were doing. Trump couldn't get those people. So then those people, but even the people he got were, some of them were like, we can't actually do that, sir, and we shouldn't do that, sir. So he got rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's up to like the third string crony people who are just there to like his ass. Like it's not even this shit, these press conferences, I watch them because obviously it's a source of some material, but like
right.
They're getting really gross and he is getting worse. Like if people watch it, we're just getting into the rough part of this crisis and he's already losing it. Like
mm-hmm.
He's lying like bigger lies. He's more upset. He's mm-hmm. saying a bunch of bullshit and nobody around him can check him. It's all, everybody gets up there. I never remember, and maybe it's biased, but I don't remember any Obama press conference where the first three people to speak would first go, but first I want to thank the great, brilliant, big dick leadership of Barack Obama, which has inspired us, and the American
right.
people love him for it. They would just say, thank you, Mr. President. Yes, as the Mr. President said, we're doing A, B, and C. No, everything is one of these dictator, like, I'm so like disgusted now,
mm-hmm.
like in a real way, like where it's just like, this is a joke. He's turned us into a joke, but people are going to die and people like, it's unbelievable. It's at this point, it's like this dude has no, like, I don't want to say anything that will get me in trouble.
Right.
But I know that there are millions of people in this country who know that tweet or say certain things,
mm-hmm.
but in their head, they're going, wouldn't it be nice if something bad happened, but they're like,
right.
I'm not going to tweet that. I'm not going to get in trouble.
Right.
But we're at this point. Like, if this were another century or another country, there would be an actual civil war going on. But
right.
we're, like, in that flat screen TV, Netflix, tweet my disappointment
mm-hmm.
kind of level of protest. Like, this should at least be 1960s level.
Right.
Unrest. At least.
Yeah, it's funny.
But
it's funny because I think you do have this element of like we should run the government as a business, but it's like in a country that is capitalist as we are, that's always a bad thing, because the government actually has responsibilities and a corporation doesn't, and the corporation always does what's best for the profit motive, which is the opposite of what a government should do. Like, you know, hey, we need to take care of people and keep them alive is a very like low bar, you know. It's the basic fucking like job of a country. But for a corporation, they don't care about that. Even corporations that get into that business, you know, hospitals have to make they have to make a judgment call to be like, this motherfucker's too expensive, they can't afford this shit, they gotta die. That's what a capitalist society is gonna do. Health insurance. Hey man, you got fucking, you know, JL Covan disease. We never heard of this shit before and we don't know how to treat it, and you only pay, you know, $200 a month. We gotta let you die. You know, like that, you don't want a country running on that type of logic. And I think that's the, like I said, that's the bare minimum. When you actually take it to like a capitalist extreme, which is what we know mostly have, it's literally someone in a room going, yeah, fuck that motherfucker, kill them, let them die. Like that, we can increase profit if we cut this whole wing off. If, you know, it's what companies are doing where, you know, maybe they could be insuring their employees, or, you know, trusting that some of these kickbacks from the government will get them through this crisis. And you still got companies being like, nah, just fire the motherfuckers. Like we don't know what's gonna happen, but, you know, we can keep our shareholders a little bit happier if we're not losing money by paying people, you know. Maybe we'll get a little kickback when we hire them back or something, but for right now, fuck it, you know. And I think putting that person in charge of the government is a, you know, especially a guy like this who has 7 bankruptcies, who's a known liar, known thief, all that stuff, when it comes to the way he runs business anyway, you're not gonna get the up and up moral stance. You know, it's funny, people shit on like all the rich people now, but there's some motherfuckers that actually do try. Like comparatively to a Donald Trump, Jeff Bezos is like a fucking saint, you know, as much as people like
Bill Gates is like, yeah, the real deal.
Yeah, comparatively, you know, Warren Buffett and all these mother, like, people kind of lump, you know, all the rich people are terrible, but I'm like, it's literally the worst of the quote unquote rich people to put in charge. Like, this is even worse. Like, if Bill Gates was in charge, he'd still be like, well, I gotta figure a way to protect the country and save people because it's the right thing to do. Donald Trump's like, fuck those people. What's the stock market look like? Is this gonna fuck up the stocks? Oh, it's gonna fuck up the stocks. I guess I'll go out and talk to America. Jesus.
Well, Trump is the guy who, I mean, not that you can't inherit wealth and do something good with it, but guys like Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, they went out, got jobs, built their fortunes, created products. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump inherited his money through a tax scheme from his father. Like, his father might have been a racist and a piece of shit, but the thing that he has over his son is he did build a business.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he actually did the work that Donald Trump now corrupts and abuses and turned into like an increasingly like just piece of shit tax fraud. But at least you can give it to the father. Like, oh, he did. Donald Trump is just the rich kid who acts like he did it, and any means necessary to preserve and grow it. I don't know how you can watch this dude at this point, and I know that's y'all's man, mm-hmm. but I don't know how people can watch him, even fans of his, and not be like, yeah, he doesn't really know what the fuck he's doing. And I have a guy I work with who I get along with him, we laugh, but he's an Obama Trump guy, which is weird to me. But he was an Obama mm-hmm. voter and then a Trump voter. I think misogyny is probably, you know, I think that might be the easiest thing to say. But he'll things to me like, where's Joe Biden? I'm like, who gives a fuck where Joe Biden is? He's a nominee.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we have the president. Like, where's Hillary Clinton? I don't know. She lost. Like, why are we?
Right. You know what else
about
is
the dude who's actually in office? Why?
You know what's interesting about that? Like, was really in the Joe Biden thing? Is that it's a tacit admission of our country being leaderless, and of the fact that we're not looking to Bernie, right. No one's looking to Bernie Sanders or Trump to lead, because the main people that started that were Bernie Sanders fans, which you would think they would just be trying right. to share any and every information they got from Bernie to be like, look, this is the leader, this is the guy, we need to rally behind this guy. And instead they're like, where's Joe Biden? Because everyone's, you know, it's the thing that happens when You know, it's like, if you're a basketball team or something like that, and, star player who's like, you know, like maybe Vince Carter, he's a star player, but then there's like leader guy, you know, it's like Jason Kidd might not be the best player on the team, but he's definitely the guy everyone looks to. Like, everyone's like, right. fuck LeBron right now. Where's Jason Kidd? Where's Jason? We need, what's the plan, coach? What are we gonna do? Like, fuck the, whoever's the coach in chief. No. Who's the coach on the floor? Who's the guy who's gonna help us get through this crisis? And that's what's so funny, is cause I don't feel like anyone's that enthusiastic about Joe Biden like that. It's not a, you know, this isn't a Barack Obama 2008 thing. This is literally just people being like panicking, looking for the fucking fire alarm, and they want Joe Biden to just show up and calm America because it's in such a state of panic, man. It's insane. And I have a friend, well, not friend, but I had a guy I played basketball with who was a huge Trump supporter, and I just had to stop talking to him because every year, every week, it would get progressively worse. Like, he'd do something more fucked up, and I'd be like, "You still fucking with?" And he'd always essentially be like, "Yes." And I remember thinking the other day, I was like, "Man, I wonder what his excuse would be for this, because he's lied, he's downplayed it. Now it's serious. You can't avoid it. Now he's throwing out numbers. It's gonna be hundreds of thousands people dying and stuff like this. And, you know, it's ironic. We couldn't even have a talk about it because we can't be face to face anymore because the fucking YMCA is closed. That's how fucked up this shit is.
Yeah. I think one last thing, and then we can sing the song. We're mm-hmm. delayed for the song. But what I realized is this is how incompetent and corrupt and vindictive Trump is. Trump could handle this and be a hero. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have actually just been a strong leader on this, done just what the doctors say, and he would have gotten all the credit. This might have gotten him reelected if he had played this, if he had played it smartly instead of instinctively, which is his, I like the stock market, you're hurt, like, I'm gonna lie, all I do is lie, cause I have no long-term vision. I am what's happening today, what's happening this week. He has no long-term vision, no patience, and no thoughts outside of himself. And because what I realized is, if Obama was president during this, or if Hillary were president during this, the hard time they would have had with everybody going, I mean, he wants us to do what? Mm-hmm. We warned you, this is the takeover, this is the socialist, this is the government-controlled takeover. But nobody's going to accuse a Republican. The Republicans will not recuse their own of a government takeover. So Trump had political cover to be strong during this. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have the vision, the patience, or like just the sense of care for others to do what was right and what was smart. Because I'm telling you, if it was a Hillary or Obama presidency right now, no matter how bad the situation got, all you would have heard was, this is what they want to do. We've been telling you, we're Fox News. We've been warning you of a government takeover of your freedoms. And you'd have even more MAGA kids running around beaches in Florida. And it would be like, so the fact that he could have had the political cover to do mm-hmm. something and still didn't yep. tells you how fucking weak he is and how bad a person he is for a job like this. Like, you can't get a worse type person.
And
somebody
still,
who doesn't like to think or read, somebody who doesn't care about other people, somebody with no vision or patience. It's like, it's so ridiculous. It's like a joke.
And he's still being petty in the midst of this with like governors mm-hmm. and politicians he doesn't like, states he doesn't like, being like, don't give them the ventilators. No, let's not give them, you know, let's not give them the mask. Let's give it to, you know, a state that I feel like gives
Florida.
Us, yeah, Florida. Let's give Florida everything.
Florida gets everything they need.
Yeah.
And the one thing that really bugged me, because obviously very well documented, I was a huge Jay Inslee supporter. Mm-hmm. They were the first ones to get hit hard, and they've kind of gotten a lot of praise. Like, you know, Dr. Birx, the woman doctor with Fauci, she was praising Inslee. She mm-hmm. was like, they really did a great job of sort of stopping the growth. And now Trump, most governors, if they're complaining or having trouble, if they're Democrats, he says it's their fault. So he'll get on the mic and say it's their fault. But when Birx was complimenting Inslee, a Democratic governor who Trump now doesn't like because he said like one bad thing about Trump, mm-hmm. he got back on the mic after Birx and went, But in Washington, it was kind of an easy situation because it was like contained to a nursing home. So like he had to get back on just to provide his opinion on why Inslee maybe didn't do like a real great job. Like his great job was easier than other people. And I was like, okay, like he can't even let it lot. Like he can't even let it be. He has to like make sure everyone that he doesn't like gets shit on.
This is a it's a malignant narcissist. You know what I mean? Like yes. We're watching it happen in real time. This is why you can't like really argue with narcissists. You can't really go back and forth. You can't convince them. Like this thing people keep doing where they're waiting on the Grinch heart to grow three sizes in, every crisis. It's like it's never gonna happen because this is what it is. This is a condition that will never change. He's been this way. It's worked for him. He's only elevated every single step of the way. He's been rewarded for it. Why people expect like it to get real to him as people die? He doesn't care that people die. He doesn't care that what the solution is supposed to be. He only can think, you know, 3 feet in front of himself.
And for me to kind of add on to what you guys have been saying, number one, my personal opinion, I've always thought that Trump has always wanted to be a dictator. Because if people pay attention, he constantly has praised anybody that was in the form of dictatorship. Yep. Anybody that could come and make sweeping rules and sweeping laws, anybody that had to bow down, anybody that had to grovel, that's actually what he wants America to be. Mm-hmm. So if you start there, you can understand every move he makes past this point. You can even understand he will take this crisis of people not being able to go out to delay the election indefinitely if he can and if they fucking allow him to. And so.
Oh, he's going to. Like he's definitely going to. Or when the results come in, there's going to be some irregularity and he's just going to say it wouldn't be right to change until we figure things out.
Right. And so once you understand that, you understand the how important it is and was for people not to fuck around when it was time to vote last time. And also for me, Jay, when you're talking about protesting, it's true that people protest, but the ways that people protest, people don't use all the layers of protesting. And one way to protest is numbers, and not numbers online. I'm talking about like physical people numbers. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Before COVID-19, motherfuckers, we could go outside and protest Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, but Roger brought up a good point before. When the person that would actually listen to you, y'all were protesting. When that person got out of the office and that motherfucker said, beat them in the streets, that protest stopped.
Yeah, I mean, well, also, like, you know, I know it, I say it derisively and, you know, I'm kind of mocking them to a certain extent, but it's one of the reasons I can't take like eat the rich and all that shit kind of serious right now is cause like, then go do it. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like if this is the ultimate, like, you know, moment of the quote unquote revolution and all this shit, where are y'all? Like, you're online tweeting and retweeting each other. You know, you're not actually revoluting any fucking thing, you know. It's, and I don't mean it to say right. that it, to mean the seriousness of the situation, but it's like even our quote unquote revolution is couched in a bunch of fucking privilege. You know, it's a bunch of people that don't have it that bad who just wish they had it a little bit better, and then they wouldn't give a fuck at all. You know, it's like, well, I care now because I might lose my job or my health insurance or this, you know, like things are trending badly, inflation and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I agree. These things are terrible. So what's the solution? Well, it's not voting. Okay, cool. It's not voting. What are we going to do? We're going to fucking eat the rich. We're going to go after them. Okay, cool. So when does that start? Like every day something gets worse in this country, and I'm like, so is it today? It's like we're saying it on Twitter. I'm like, okay, so I'll check in tomorrow and we'll see what the fuck's gonna happen. It's like we're in love with the t-shirt revolution. Like we're in love with that, you know, the branded TM like shit. We're in love with that, but you know, we're in love with the podcast that tells you the revolution is coming, we're gonna do it, but we're not like like JL said, we're not even 60s level. Like, they were bombing shit in the 60s and 70s. Like, they, like liberal people, not, like, like, they were bombing shit, like, no, fuck this. We're gonna, there is.
Obama's radical friends.
Yeah, that's not even happening anymore, man. So, like, I don't know. It's like people are in love with the idea and the image of a revolution and shit, but ain't nobody really trying to, like, they don't even have guns. You know what I mean? Like, they're not truly about that shit. I think people just like couching, their complacency in this revolutionary rhetoric, but it ain't shit happening. I'll still look up every day in the country getting grifted by this motherfucker. Anyway. Oh, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Sorry. I just thought it was, and what makes me, I think I've said this online to you guys, but I do see a lot of Bernie people who even amidst this,
yeah,
and I don't know, it's Twitter, but even amidst this, their main enemy is still like the DNC and Joe Biden. And I saw something about Andrew Cuomo, who's been getting a lot of praise for his sort of stoic but human leadership, moving the primary in New York. And I almost replied, but I was like, I don't feel like this right now. But it was somebody saying, like, so if it's moved past this date, the delegates go down. They aren't allowed their full complement of delegates if it's past this date. And Bernie right now is polling ahead. So once again, and I was like, and that had a bunch of retweets from Bernie people. And I was like, you think you are so fucking stupid and up your ass with Bernie that you think that Andrew Cuomo is being motivated to try and help Joe Biden in June with what he's doing right now? Are you like, and then I said to myself, I'm like, and that is why all this talk of bringing in the Bernie people, I say, in the words of Robert De Niro, which should be the quote of like 2020, fuck them. Because I thought, you know what? Go get every black person that isn't Mark Lamont Hill. Mm-hmm. Get every suburban white woman. Get every one of them who hates Trump, fears Trump, and knows this is a disgrace. And you get them out. Because as you guys, I think, said, and as the report said, Joe Biden may not be the messiah that everybody's looking for. But when you look at him outdoing Obama in Virginia and in Michigan, blue, purple states. Now Virginia's basically gone blue now.
Blue now, yeah.
But like Michigan is obviously a purple state. Mm-hmm. If he's breaking Obama turnout numbers in the primary, then it doesn't really matter what you say you bring to the table. Why don't you get on board and stop being a spoiler? Because the worst thing that can happen to you, Bernie folk, is that if Biden wins without your support, then your asses are written off for a long time. Because then we will realize, oh, we don't need the asshole Twitter coalition to join us. We just need to please everybody else who actually registers to vote.
Dog, that's the realest shit. Cause like, I think it was right before Super Tuesday we were talking about on the show, and I was like doing the math in my head, like, wait, this motherfucker don't have the numbers. Like all you have to do is just reduce the field and Bernie has less than what he had before, which is insane, you know, because he's dominated. Like, there's no excuse. He had the most money.
Mm-hmm.
He dominated the media space for all liberal things for the last 5 years, and
he's the only one with close enough name recognition to Biden.
Right,
like, he wasn't a newbie at this point.
And Biden to me is like a boxer on his last legs at this point. Like, we're watching a guy that we're like, yeah, this dude is not the sharpest. Like, he was sharper 8 years ago, and he's still lapping your ass because you never built coalitions and you never really built inroads, and your fucking supporters are not people that build coalition. Like, that, like, you don't even have, like, that's the thing. People always forget. I think they take it for granted now because it already happened, but Barack Obama in 2008, man, that was a coalition building situation. That was people on the ground being like, no, I know you want to vote for Hillary Clinton. I know you don't know who this guy is. I know Obama sounds like Osama. Let me tell you about my candidate, okay? That's what that was. It wasn't, you fucking neoliberal corporatist shill, you piece of shit. Wait, if you don't
Brother
fucking
Rod.
Yeah. it wasn't that shit, you know, like it was like a legitimate campaign, and he didn't just have to win over white people, he had to win over black people too. Like, black people weren't fucking with him when he showed up, and so you had a blueprint to follow. But I think, you know, because the Bernie Sanders movement is mostly built on fuck Obama, low-key, it's mostly built on like Bernie would have did it twice as good as Obama, so fuck him. You have that type of sentiment that, like, fuck the most popular politician, vote for my man, and the way I'm gonna do it is by negging everything you believe in. You have what we have now. And so, like I said, man, the numbers didn't surprise me when I was just looking like, are they gonna drop out or not? Cause it was really an ego thing at that point. Like, is Pete Buttigieg gonna stay in? Is, the billionaire nigga, I can't remember his name anymore, is he gonna stay in?
Steyer.
No, Bloomberg. That's what I was thinking. Bloomberg. Yeah, okay. Different billionaire. But yeah, I was like, are they gonna stay in? And once they dropped out, man, it was a wrap, man. Because, you know, essentially it was like, the people.
But that became, it's a plot. You know what I mean? Then it became, instead of them just making like smart decisions and trying to help the party, cause, okay. Maybe what a shock. Maybe the centrist candidates don't want Bernie to win the nomination.
Like it doesn't have to be a secret plan, right?
Like, it doesn't have to be a secret plan. You just spent the whole campaign talking about how all these people are too centrist. Right. Well, what a shock. The centrists back the centrist. Right. Like, I don't know why that has to then be a plot. Like, it's, why can't that just make sense?
It's also crazy.
The one they should be worried about is Elizabeth Warren didn't back Bernie.
Right.
That spoke much louder than any of the endorsements.
Yes.
That she was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, when they, and then when like that kind of like, piece dropped about, they tried to reach out to Bernie's campaign before dropping out, like a month before, to be like, look, man, we're really close on certain things. We should be working together, not against each other, blah, blah, blah. And Bernie being in the lead and his people being like, man, fuck you. Like, we don't need your votes. And then flipping it to the second she dropped out, like, bitch, you owe us those motherfucking endorsements. I hope you don't think that you about to just get out of here scot-free. Like, that was such a crazy thing to view in real time. And yeah, I think that spoke volumes for a lot of people. But anyway, this has been a long ass tangent. Karen,
One more thing before we leave.
Okay.
This is how I view a lot of the Bernie stands. They come into a room and they punch everybody in the eye. They like beat everybody up. And after they finish punching everybody in the eye, they go, well, it didn't work with me.
Right.
Bitch, you punched me in the eye. Why would I work with you?
I'll take it one step
further. This isn't prison, it's politics, Bernie.
Right. And the worst part is, they don't even punch that hard.
No, you know what I mean? Annoying.
Like, it's more of an annoying thing. We're just like, dude, what are you doing?
You know, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, it's like a child punching you, where you're just like, dude, what are you even mad about? Calm down. Go to timeout. Like, anyway. All right. Let's sing the song. This is what they've been waiting on, guys. Y'all know the truth. Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
I gotta say, before you jump in, I've only heard it, I haven't watched you guys do Reading Rainbow. I love Karen. Karen has that like she's in the studio during the We Are the World video. Yeah. She's looking around and she's like, are you with me? Okay. Right. Yeah.
Got one hand to her headphone, trying to make sure the picture's right.
Can y'all hear me?
All right. So before we get into the news of the day, man, JL, man, it's been a big week, man. Mm-hmm. How you feeling now, man? Are you kind of recovered? Are you still feeling all like exhausted and shocked and all that stuff?
Yeah, I'm better now. Like, you know, I settled down now. It was like this overload of good news and like people coming to me with different opportunities. And I was just like, you're not supposed, like I said on my podcast, you're not supposed to get 7 years of a career in 48 hours. So it's it's been good. Obviously the followers went way up, the YouTube views. Like I've made more this week from YouTube and Cameo than I do in a month at my law firm.
Wow.
Like, and I know that's not going to last, but it's been like this insane. And that's just like the cold, hard money part, not mm-hmm. the kind of potential career opportunities. I do think it's fitting that I would blow up finally when there are no clubs that I can go parlay this into a career. I think that's a perfect on brand moment for me. But it is weird because obviously I'm trying to steer people slowly but surely into like other impressions and other like some of my stand up because, you know, if you pick up 65,000 followers in 2 weeks, you just want to turn maybe 10,000 of them into stand up and impression fans because that's enough. Then you've got enough to do something with. But it is weird because I'm sure you guys have had this because you've been big for a while, but you start to see, oh, okay, now you start to get a couple messages. Like I posted something about Trump last night.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I quoted, it's my favorite quote from Casino when it applies to Trump people. It's, he's talking to a guy who's been like, who runs some of the slot machines. Mm-hmm. And the slot machines keep winning. And he says to the guy, either you're in on it or you are too stupid. Either way, I cannot have you. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel at this point with Trump supporters. I'm not talking, you can find somebody who had an excuse in 2016, but right now we've seen the body of work. He's hateful, but he's also really bad at the job. Like if you thought he was just the most ruthless, sharp CEO, he doesn't give a fuck about your feelings or your mom, but man, he just does the work. Do you know what I mean? No, he's terrible at the job and he's a horrible person. So at this point, I'm like, I can't be down with you. Like, I don't need to. And then a couple of people go, hey man, there are Trump people who like your impression too. And I'm just like, I'm not going to stop you from laughing. You want to laugh? It's funny. I know that. But like, don't take this as like, we're all on the same side when it comes to this. Like, this isn't good natured humor. Right. If you want to know the truth, this is, I have a good impression. I want to make fun of the guy. So this is what I'm doing. But there's no like, let's all come together. This dude, somebody wrote to me yesterday and said, No, I should say this. 99% of the comments are great, positive. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You get that occasional one, like after the third Trump video getting a huge number of views, you get that one person who's like, it's getting a little boring. And I'm like, that's you.
Yeah.
That's you. I don't know. I'm doing it because like tens of thousands of people keep watching these videos. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry you one person think like I've jumped the shark.
You know what? But like, you know what else is funny is like, even if that was like a defense of Trump attached, like, you know, it's enough picking on Trump, everybody. That's enough. Like, you know who else is getting a little boring? Trump. It's the same act over and over again, except his kills people. Like no one's died from a JL Covan impression.
So laughter.
Let's save the rage for somebody that might be affected by it. But the other thing too is like, as a creative man, that kind of shit always finds a way through, right? Like, millions of people could be like, I fucking love you, man. It's the greatest fucking thing in the world. And then it's just like one asshole who didn't even like listen to the video or just fucking saw you with the hat or whatever. Like, that one asshole always gets through where you're like, oh, well, fuck you, motherfucker. It's like, well, there was all this other praise that I'm ignoring real quick. Hey, you in the back. Yeah. Asshole walking by the comedy show on the outside, who just said that guy's not funny. Fuck you, motherfucker. Like, that's, I can feel that coming.
Well, and there were the two comments last night, like just after I posted like a link to my website, I was like, hey, wait, free ways to support me. And it was like, I got podcasts, I got a bunch of videos, I got stand-up clips. And then somebody, like after hearing people go, like a few people, like I said, like three, go, hey man, do something else. This guy goes, hey man, I just found you. Yeah. You're brilliant, but enough with the other stuff. Can we get more Trump? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Now it's like, mixed signals.
You just showed up to my party and told me, the food sucks. Do you have any more beer?
Right. It's also funny too, because like, I think fans now, they have such, access, right? Mm-hmm. There's such immediate access now via the internet that they really do treat shit like a request line, you know, like, all right, man, enough of you, talking about your dog, you know, whatever, motherfucker. do some Trump impressions real quick. Like, you know, like, I'm on Twitter real quick with him, mom. Hold on one sec. I'm going to get him to do some Trump real quick and then we get back. Like, that's, like, it's not really like supposed to be like that, but I think we have reached like peak entitlement of fans now because everything's so streamlined exactly to what we want, right? We follow people's tweets exactly how long and for which opinions we want. We, all the content streaming choices we have now, you can literally get the exact fucking show you like and no other show, right? Like you can just keep making up shows until eventually you're like, I want a show about a fat woman. It's like, here's 47,000. Oh, she gotta be black. 27,000. She gotta be lesbian. 17,000. Like, it's like we are now that fucking streamlined. So I do think fans are like low key entitled to be like, yeah, I noticed you've been doing your career for 27 years and you have hundreds of videos and podcasts and all that stuff. Can you just do something specifically for me? Like, do the Trump thing, but say my name. Like, say, make it about a guy who works at a mechanic shop and also has one leg. Go ahead and go. You know, that's what we're...
Yeah, and one guy last night, I didn't respond. I try not. I found myself, and on my podcast this week, I'll get into like more specifics of messages and things I got because there's some funny and some dark ones.
Yeah.
But the one I got last night was a guy, and I think he was trying to be like, "Hey, man, I'm like a reasonable Trump support. Like, I'm like I'm good people.
Why the good ones?"
And he was like, "Hey, we all love the." He was like, "We all love the Trump stuff. Like, you're a very funny guy, but maybe like." You know, this isn't the time for negativity. Maybe we need to all come together with some positivity. And I was like, okay. And he's like, but then he said, and I don't think this is a time to undermine confidence in our in the president. And I didn't reply because there was no way to reply to that nicely.
Right.
But I wanted to say, okay, so you just found me most likely within the last 10 days.
Yeah.
I have posted exactly one comment trashing Trump supporters.
Right.
Everything else has just been goofy humor and thank you for following me. And I'm the negative one. I don't know if you know this, but you should check out a Trump press conference once in a while where he's shitting on governors trying to stop a plague.
Right.
And the idea, I'm undermining Trump. He undermines himself.
Right. Yes.
What are you talking? What am I doing? It's one of those things where you're going, I know this guy probably thinks like, hey, I'm reaching out. I want to be all in together. And that's a good sentiment. We should be like that. And that's fine. I can be with you in terms of social distancing and trying to trust the doctors and do all that. Trump isn't with you. That's the thing.
Right.
Like, Trump is not with you, Trump supporter. He is with Trump.
Right.
So, like, this idea that he's trying to lead us, no, he's trying to help himself. Whatever.
Right.
If you said you will get reelected if you give 100 Trump supporters fatal coronavirus, he would be like, well, let's line them up. Let's get it. Can we get it right into the vein? It's probably quicker if we put it right in the vein. So he doesn't, like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, he is not with you.
Right.
Don't worry about me. He's not with you. That's what we need to sort of get across. He's with Trump. If that coincidentally helps you or makes you feel better because he insults people you don't like, that's still not with you. That's with you by coincidence.
It's also
that thing. As soon as his interests are different, he won't be with you.
It's also that thing too where it's a platitude and people just love platitudes, right? Like, it doesn't have to mean anything. It's like, it's essentially shut the fuck up without saying shut the fuck up. It's like the nice way. Like, but can't we all agree that we're in it together? Can't you see that? It's like, so what do you want from me, person? Do you want me to not make a living anymore? You want me to not do the thing I'm good at anymore? You want my videos and not, you know what? You've convinced me. I'm going to delete every video I've done. I'm going to call everyone back and say, fuck your opportunity. I don't want to do this anymore. It's going to make this guy feel bad. This guy who never feels bad when he sees a Trump press conference, who never feels bad when he sees Trump tweet, but it's me. I'm breaking the world up with my opinion and my mocking of this guy who's obviously, you know, out here making the world worse. So of all the like reach outs, did you also get like the DMs and the texts and stuff from the old people that stopped fucking with you, but now they see you that you hot, so they want to back on the JL train?
Where are you at, Mike Ryan? Shout out to the Levitard show. They had me. They had me for free for a year, and disrespected me. And now I'm still not getting paid that much, but at least more people know me.
Right.
but I think I had one ex reach out to me and say, "Oh my God, this is so great! Congratulations." Most of them didn't because I guess they hate me. Mm. But I was laughing at all the DMs I got from, you know, because I'm now internet. You know, I was internet famous for a week.
Right.
And I was like getting all these messages from like, my sister is a nurse and you made her laugh and that's a great thing.
Oh.
And like my parents are 80 and they're worried and they were sending me your videos. You've really made them happy. And I was like, I thought there'd be more hoes in the DMs, right, to be honest. I know, mm-hmm, I have a girlfriend, but like,
right,
I didn't think I thought this was going to be more Motley Crue. I didn't realize I was this generation's Mr. Rogers where it was going to be like, right. Like, I thought The Rock would be playing me in a movie, not Tom Hanks.
You just wanted to know that you still had it a little bit, but
yeah. But instead, it's everybody who's just like, my goodness, this, you've brought sunshine to an otherwise. I'm like, all right, but do you fuck?
Right.
You see, Trump don't make the panties drop, like literally. So I'm sorry. Well, I don't know what to tell
you.
Yeah,
he wasn't in Trump makeup though. You know what I mean? It's like, I think I know what you're saying.
Teeth compliments. I got a lot of people who love teeth were like, great teeth.
You didn't even get like, the MAGA, groupies that came, you know, yeah, to be like,
I mean, they rolled deep.
I would love some fake Trump,
some
sex.
role play.
Yeah. Like maybe
I wanted to do a sketch about that. I don't know how I would exactly make it PG for YouTube, but right. I wanted to be like, yeah, you like that? Is that what you want? Do you want the blacks to go back to Africa? Is that how you like it? What if I speak in, what if I get some tacos delivered and then don't tip the Mexican delivery guy while we're making love? Do you like that? How about, you want some of that?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't been offering any porn parodies. Like, come over, go over here and just do a voiceover.
Yeah. You know, they did a Trump porn parody though. They already did one. I watched it. And it had Boris dude in it. It's not American.
It's
a British porn parody that has like Angela Merkel, Boris, whatever his name is, and a version of Trump all in the same porn. It's insane. Yeah,
that sounds like a lot.
And some black woman too. I can't remember who she was. I was like, there's black people that are, oh, okay, all right, well, like, hey, equal opportunity. I appreciate y'all getting that diversity higher in there. You know what I'm saying? I like to feel represented in the downfall of America. So,
it is definitely weird. And it feels like, I mean, I've gained like some famous people fans and a lot of like good people, it seems. So, but it is weird.
What about like comedians though? What about comedians though? Like, are you having comedians come back to be like, yo, this is my man JL Covan after years of being like, I can't get booked. What the fuck is happening with these clubs?
Honestly, what I do like is that all the comedians who were ever cool to me, even if we fell out of touch, but never, mm-hmm, like, I never felt like they disrespected me or weren't cool. Some of them have contacted me again, and that's nice. So I haven't gotten anybody who's like, oh man, you're doing your thing. And
right.
I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What about, TJ Miller? Has TJ Miller hit you up yet?
Dad? No, he hasn't. Oh. He hasn't. I hope, like, yeah, I don't, nothing from him. Our beef was a long time ago in a blog that I wrote, I guess.
I appreciate, man, Roy Wood Jr. retweeting it, man, and with the link and stuff. Cause, you know, he was the first person I saw retweeted, you know, from like that circle of people. And he's such a cool dude. Like,
he
came to Charlotte. He got us, he gave us tickets to come see him when he came to Charlotte. You know, also extremely funny and all that type of stuff, man. He's been on the podcast before. Like, super dope dude, man. And like, his star has risen in the last like 2 or 3 years. And so to see that alley-oop, man, he threw up there, I was like, I couldn't retweet that shit fast enough. I was like, yes, this, okay, come on. Like, this is it. This is like, it was like, I can't remember when, but I felt like when he retweeted it, it was maybe like 100 or so, maybe retweets or something. I don't know how many views it was, but it wasn't like blown all the way blown up.
because I've done the, and this is all like very Black Guy Who Tips universe relevant. Mm-hmm. This the first guy to retweet it with like significantly more followers than me at the time was this guy Eric Schmeltzer, who's like a political. I don't even know when we started following each other, but he likes the comedy and obviously some of the political takes. But he has like 19,000 followers, but they're very political people. He retweeted it, and then like an hour later, not directly from him, but Roy Wood Jr. retweeted it, but with like, that like endorsement, you know, where he was like, he quoted a line and said, "Bravo, Covin." And he's retweeted a couple things of mine. Obviously, he's got a lot of people he follows, and he's very busy, but he's always been very cool. And, you know, through social media. I did a show with him like 10 years ago or 9 years ago, like just when he was starting to rise in stand-up. I did just a set, and he even said to me, he's like, "Oh, that was a good set, man." And so he's always been, you know, he's always been a really nice guy. And then, so that took it from like, you know, like 4,000 views to like 30,000 views. And from there, I was like, "Oh, sweet. Okay." But I still never thought, I was like, "This might be a good one for me." And then, you know, it just, it, a million, 2 million. It's at like 6.5 million there. It's over 2 million on YouTube. Who knows what it's doing on Facebook, but people told me it went viral on Facebook too. But yeah, and then from the next big one, the one that gave it that like quantum leap was Ken Olin, who's a producer on This Is Us.
Hey!
This is why I thought of, so like, now what I was really looking for, even though he's very active and has a big social media following, I kept looking, any cast members? Do we got any cast members retweeting this?
Can I get Sterling K. Brown to come through?
Yeah. And by then, I make my girlfriend laugh with my Sterling K. Brown impression, but I know it's not good, but it's just that you remember in the movie Unbreakable, I know that's not Sterling K. Brown, but the beginning, the black doctor who delivers Mr. Glass, he just has that quavering, like everything is very intense. Right. And so whenever my girlfriend forgets something, I just say to her, "Do you have cognitive impairment?"
No.
You know, just like, because everything is very, very profound.
Time to invest in your future.
It's so serious.
Maybe. I try to work on that, but, but I kept looking for some retweets from the cast. But by then, you know, once, as I'm sure you know, once you get into the, like, you can't scroll your phone fast enough, like every 3 seconds, there's like 20 new notifications. So who knows at that point, but.
Right.
Yeah, it was obviously really nice, because now it's, whether these people follow me to my stand up or other projects, like I'm at a level now where I have a large following.
Well, they followed you. They followed the podcast. I saw Making Podcasts Great Again, moved all the way up to iTunes charts. I think that when you said the picture out is at number 11 overall.
Crazy. Now it's not now what it's sort of now, but our fan base literally went up by like 10,000%, like some like 10,000% increase.
I'm glad.
So at least. So as you'll notice, though, we are holding strong at number 4 on the Podomatic comedy charts, a few spots behind this legendary show. But we're probably never going to get up to that high again, because that was like 1 week of like 100 reviews and 20,000 downloads in like a 48-hour period.
Right.
But we did get up to like 50 on the comedy charts on iTunes this week when our new episode went up. So
wonderful.
Either way, it's just like we do now have a much larger base. It's no longer like our base is not 20,000 people. Like it's like 8,000 people, but when you're going from 700 to 8,000, that's a beautiful jump.
Well, you know, I've been saying for years, and I mean it, but you are so talented. And then, the Trump impression to me, bar none, is the best. Like, I'm not even saying that with the, like, the diss to these other, like, that's not even what I'm saying. Cause I think,
I'm saying it like that.
You know, there's some other people out there that do good Trump, so they get different elements of Trump that are kind of funny and stuff. But, you know, I've always been like, man, it's like JL gets in the head of Trump.
Yes.
A guy who's already like a living hyperbole, and then takes it that one extra step to where you're like, okay, it's sarcasm and I can laugh. I don't normally laugh at a lot of people's Trump shit because it's kind of too close to either ridiculous and making it seem like he's not a threat at all, or it's too close to like, vilifying him to a level where it's almost like not surreal. Like it's like, yeah, he's not Thanos, you know what I mean? But JL's able to get it where it's just like that sweet spot of like funny, narcissistic, ridiculous and stupid at the same time, where I'm just like laughing every episode. If you haven't listened to Making Podcasts Great Again, I can't recommend it highly enough. If for some reason you were waiting out, waiting for the white man to recognize JL before y'all could listen, now you should go listen. And you know, also they have a Patreon and you can become a subscriber to that too. I'm a subscriber, and you get like Trump movie reviews and bonus Trump shows and stuff, so you should check it out.
The Invisible Man Trump review, because it's now on demand early because of the theater shutdown. Next week, this coming week, will be the Invisible Man review by Donald Trump.
Yeah, you killed me with that joke about Ralph Ellison, man. I was like, oh, that one's for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know who else got that one, but that shit killed me, man.
And also, JL, I remember when you had started this podcast, and I think it was just playing in the background. I really wasn't paying attention. And at first I was like, the hell is Trump doing over here? I was like, oh, that's not Trump.
Yeah, I would play
a lot of people have sent that, like my wife or my husband was in the other room and they were like, what did that idiot say?
Yeah.
And I hope they thought it was Trump and they weren't just like, JL. No, I'm talking about JL. Yeah. What did that idiot
He's
say?
He's a fucking idiot. Oh, that he was trying to do a Trump impression? Okay.
But this week I'm starting, and I hopefully it continues. I'm doing my first live Howard Stern call in as Trump.
Yay!
Yeah. So the only problem is the impression is better the later in the day, and I got to do it at 7:15 in the morning. So I'm setting my alarm for like 4 o'clock so that I can just talk for 2 hours to rough up the voice.
Have you thought about rebranding yourself? Like maybe going by JL COVID-19 or.
The Covan COVID tour.
Yeah.
Covanavirus.
Yeah. Like we gotta capitalize on the pandemonium, man.
And it's like tough because my ego and the fact that obviously Trump represents like 90% of my fan base, but only like 5% of my career. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to delicately like bring people along, you know what I mean? Like, this is my Game of Thrones, but like I want you to stay and watch Veep afterwards,
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes.
So I'm hoping I can do that.
Well, I think you have a window. Like, I think you have a window here, especially this weekend, because Louis C.K. came out with a brand new special.
I've been resharing my old video. Yeah,
so now people can like transition into, oh, this guy does more than just Trump. This Louis C.K., because that, once again, that was a fucking great impression.
Yes.
And that also, like, the only thing you can't get retroactively is, like, that also was at a time right before people were doing impressions of him. So, like, we can't get the retro.
And he was at his absolute peak.
Right.
Like, he was the man. Like, the reason that sketch got heat was because a lot of people were like, who's this fucking hater?
Right.
Like, it wasn't me being like, hey, he pulls his dick out and it's cool now to bash him. I was like, no, I caught a lot of people calling me like a dickhead and a hater.
Yeah.
For like attacking the king.
You were ahead of the time.
And I
ahead
did
of the curve.
Sorry.
I said you were ahead of the curve.
Last Sunday. Yes. Too far ahead of the curve.
Far.
And then like 4 years later, they forgot about me that I was the one doing it. But I, like last Sunday with churches closed, I said, oh, perfect time. I shared the Joel Osteen video. So that got it another like 5,000 hits and some likes. So I'm trying to do that this week. I have one because I'm going to bust out an Andrew Cuomo impression that I've been working very hard on.
Mm.
So as it's the next Trump video is going to be a Trump and Andrew Cuomo video. And then I'm going to start. Then I have like a deal with a website to make a couple of Trump videos exclusively for them.
Ah.
So I'm going to start sharing the John Bernthal series.
Mm-hmm.
Cause this guy I talked to do like a web, we're kind of negotiating terms, but like to do a mobile web series, like a cheaply produced, but like little mobile web series for this company, he watched like some of my other videos. Cause he was like, what other impressions do you, blah, blah, blah. And he was like floored with the John Bernthal.
Yes!
He was like, He was like more in love with the John Bernthal impression than with the Trump.
Yes.
And so I want to try and get that series. Like, obviously it's not going to reach the same people, but I kind of want, I just want the Punisher Marvel type fans to like maybe a broader audience to see those videos. Cause that's like a goofy little series, but the impression is good and nobody's doing, that's another one of those like,
nobody's doing it.
That guy. He's like not quite big enough for people to try. So yeah, we'll
I love that.
I can't wait to just go. So, and the guy was saying he might, he wants to like make John Bernthal Trump's Secret Service agent.
Yes!
And, like, if he's standing, like this little mobile series. Mr. President. That's what you, you want to go out there without your Secret Service?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I know you're a tough guy. I know you're a tough guy, but you know what? The people want to see me.
You know what, my family wanted to be seen, and then they got murdered. So you go out there, and you take your bodyguard. Yeah?
Well, if you say so, you're the one with the gun. We love our Second Amendment Punisher.
Man, that's crazy, because I remember you stumbled into that on the podcast with us.
Yes!
We were just fucking around. I was like, JL, for real, though, that's actually really fucking good.
That's really good. I love it. Yes!
It's like, why you bullshitting though? You should probably get you a Punisher shirt and at least make some videos. Oh man.
And that's sometimes how it happens, because people always want to be like, did you study the person? And like, Andrew Cuomo is an example of somebody that I'm like, I feel like I can get it and I'm working on it. Whereas Punisher was one of those ones like, I hear it in my head. Let me try. And then sometimes they sound kind of good when you just sort of try it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of those.
Oh man. So yeah, man, nothing but great news, man. I'm really happy for you too, man. Like,
me too.
Feel like, you know, I was starting to doubt the Blackout Tales bump. I was like, you know, we took on a very strong project this time to try to get JL over the hump.
Yeah, you were the hardest one yet.
Yeah. You know, we've seen our magic.
Just a big man. A big man from Haiti with no basketball skills.
Yeah.
But you thought he had a good motor.
Project, you know.
Work the project.
we gotta trust the process here, man.
Yeah,
we refuse to give up on you.
JL Embiid.
Yeah. I mean, we had Roy Wood Jr. at this point.
Ray Sonny,
Janelle James, Chris Lambert. Mm-hmm. Just got him to Broadway. You know, we take all the credit, for his hard work and success.
I didn't want to text him too soon about that.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm gonna text him. But I project on how miserable I would feel. Because I have tickets next week to his play.
Right.
And obviously that's not happening. And like, that's not like a little thing. That's a Broadway play in a critically acclaimed play. Like, this is like a Tony Award, like kind of nominee front runner type play. So I feel like now enough time has gone. I'm going to be like, are they bringing it back? I hope. If I found out, like, if this video had popped off like 3 months ago, and like I was starting a tour, headlining clubs April, you wouldn't be able to talk to me.
Right.
I'd be like, you can talk to me in September. I'm in a dark place right now. I'm just projecting my negativity on Chris.
Right.
But I've been feeling for him, because I'm like, yeah, I was supposed to go to the play. And, you know, as an actor, you make a Broadway debut. That's a huge, that's humongous.
And I've talked to him since. He seems to be taking it pretty well. I've talked to him. I actually did his podcast too, not too long ago, but, he seems to be taking it in stride, man, as much as you can. I mean, obviously it's, you know, it fucking sucks, but, I think
when at least everybody's in it.
That's like, what I was going to say.
It's not singling you out. It's not like only your show got canceled.
I think one thing that helps is that it is a pandemic. Like, not that that's a quote unquote good thing, but I think it helps knowing like everything shut down.
Everything stopped.
So it's like, all right, this is maybe I felt like I was getting over the hump, but like when they shut down, you know, the church. It's not just the world out to get me. It's kind of everyone's fucked up. And I think because it's like a universal everything shut down, maybe there's hope like everything will just get flipped the switch and restart at some point. And then, because that invested money and that shit are going to definitely want to get that play out there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I do need to say, before you get off this, I do need to say, since not everybody obviously listens to Righteous Prick podcast, but, I meant what I said. Like I was getting, it was like overwhelming, but I had to give a special thank you to you and obviously your fans when they listen to this, because aww, all jokes aside and all the bitter jokes and cynical jokes I tell about comedy, like I really didn't see, and who knows, right, this would be even funnier if like 3 months from now I still have no real career. But if I just became a superstar during the COVID and then like people are like, all right, let's go see the regular people now. But you guys, I mean, I have felt closer and closer to just being done with comedy, and just using it as like doing some writing and seeing if I can do something as a creative outlet. And it was you guys, I mean, you guys, since you came into sort of my comedic world, your fan base has sustained, like you and your fans have given me enough of a bump, enough likes, enough encouragement, aww, in a real way that you go, well, I didn't have, you know, I had, let's just make it easy number. I had 100 fans before the Black Guy Who Tips, and now I have 250 fans. And that like feels like enough to be like, fuck it, man. They like the video. I like making them. So at least I know somebody's out there appreciating it, and that sometimes I can do Rod and Karen's show and like I'll pick up some followers, because it's a warm and an engaging base. And I've made this. Obviously, yeah, I was a huge Corolla fan and I went and did that show. Now he has a bigger audience than you guys, but right, there was never the same bump. Like doing a show with you meant I was got more fans than doing a show on Corolla's podcast. Even at the time when it was like number one or two on iTunes, I'd get followers, but I wouldn't get the feedback and right, the appreciation and the numbers and like the raw listens, downloads,
right,
album purchases from this, like that I would from this fan base. So, you know, it was, I was getting choked up on last week's episode because it was like overwhelming. I felt like I was giving an acceptance speech for an award that I didn't win.
Yeah.
You know, like Zoolander getting on stage. They said it couldn't happen 4 years in a row. Well, guess what? And then it's, you know, Owen Wilson won the award. But that's what it felt like. It felt like I needed to say thank you, because it was like, without that, without what just happened, this may have given my career another 2 years. It may have given me an entirely new career. Who right, knows? But it felt like it was pretty much over. I was just doing it for like my own enjoyment and like, yeah, you know, I have a regular job and that's going to pay the bills and I got to adjust my mindset for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like, and because you guys, I probably would have quit a few years ago. Just yeah, that I would have reached the same point quicker had you guys and your fans not been, you know, well, where you are and
we
how
just,
you are.
Mostly we just didn't want you to move to Cleveland. That's really, that's really all this has been about.
Oh no, but if I make the real big bucks, then I'm gonna have that power to flex on my girlfriend and go, no, I'm moving and you can get one of these, you can get this 4-bedroom house if you want it. But if not, I'm sure there's some big Cleveland fans who just want to tell me how I changed their lives and their grandkids loved my impression, because yeah, that's the groupies I get.
I'm sure she doesn't want to compete with the Cleveland demographic of groupies. No, everyone knows about that.
That's
roster.
On a different level.
Yeah, no one's ready for that, for the big leagues over there. But yeah, man, and obviously, man, we're just super happy for you and, you know, really, really, you know, we really appreciate it. And you know, it's your hard work, man, perseverance, and then, you know, you're just super talented. You know, the real, like, thing that I didn't see coming was just, like, you know, with all the burn bridges and all the, like, completely, like, honest takes on comedy and shit, I was just like, well, that's what's gonna keep me capping him. I'm like, you know, he's like, he's talented, but then there's just always gonna be someone taking offense, like, you know, well, I think bringer shows are fine. Fuck this motherfucker or whatever. And,
JL gets the gun. Yeah. What did you say?
And in a weird way, like the internet is the ultimate equalizer, right? Because right, you don't have to go necessarily through a broker to put your video online.
Right.
And then when the people like the video, then, you know, comedy hasn't really changed much. Like they're now just hopping on the wave of what's hot, right? So mm-hmm, they're, you know, they're like, well, I can't deny this shit is hot and we would like to get this and we like to be involved with this somehow. So it's very odd, because JL, if you listen to the Righteous Prick, you're so fucking like focused on like stand up and like this is where the comedy happens, like this is the club, this is the culture, but in a weird way you've taken this circuitous route back, yeah. You know, and it's funny though, because you're still, I can already tell when you're talking, you still kind of like, how do we work this back to stand up though? How do we, like, we got to get this back to where the art form is at.
Here's the thing, like for me, the goal has always been, and I, the reason I started podcasting, the reason I started doing YouTube videos to showcase impressions was I said, okay, I'm a good stand up. Now I would say I'm an excellent stand-up, but I was a good stand-up. I do good impressions. I'm pretty smart and have opinions. So let's see if I can diversify my comedy portfolio. And if one thing hits, then I can bring that whole skill set. And it just didn't seem like it was – I felt like I was doing all that, and the product was good, but it just wasn't catching on. And I laughed. I said, I have no management. I have no PR. I have none of that stuff, but – when everybody was stripped of their managers, of their bookers, of their places where they're already in, and it became like this flat surface where everybody was now with everybody home, watching the internet and being bored, I was able to break through. And I made this joke a couple, and it feels good. It feels good to feel like I don't think I ever compromised. I don't think I ever strayed from what I thought was good comedy and from what I thought was the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. But I've always wanted to be a headliner. I want clubs. I will do other things and build up other opportunities. But like for me, career goal number one, it was and still is, I want to see that poster outside a Funny Bone, outside an Improv with my name, preferably like special event, meaning I'm getting extra money.
Right.
You know, that's still that to me, that's the dream coming true. And whatever comes from that will be beautiful and I can set new goals. But that's like, that's the dream. And this, like I said on the podcast, it's like, I've never felt, I don't know how far away I am from that.
Right.
I know I've never been closer, but right. Could I be a mile away or could I be a block away? I right. don't know, but I know that I've never been as close as I am now, and that alone feels like an accomplishment, or that I've set a new standard for myself. But, I joked on my episode where I said I said this like, I don't know, like 3-4 days before I put up the Trump thing, mm-hmm. where I said I feel like Bane in the Dark Knight.
Yes.
I joked and I was like, you were born in the dark. You adopted the darkness. I was born in it. Because I'm this like dude traveling the road. Like, yeah. I don't like to be alone. I'm not a loner, but it's just the way life has sort of worked out. And I was like, what if I thrive? What if like my whole life has been, my adult life has been like preparing to kill it during like a global pandemic.
Right.
Like, I'm built for it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it actually happened. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
My joke was right.
That's how I feel sometimes when people like quote unquote check in on me in the pandemic. I always feel a little bit bad because I'm like, oh, I'm doing fine. I'm actually doing a little too good. I'm a little worried. I should probably be more down and depressed, I guess. But I don't know. I'm in my bag. My work is in my house. My video games and TV shows are here. I'm catching up on a lot of stuff.
You catching up on everything. Like the DVR is starting to clear out, buddy.
Yeah, I'm catching. I'm like, this is the most productive I've been in a long time. But anyway, how are you doing? It's like, I just need to get out of the house, man. I don't want to kill somebody. I'm like, oh man, that sucks. I'd hate to feel that way. Anyway, going back to Netflix. You guys have a good one. All right. We have news. Let's get to the news. I'll try to go through some of it, a little faster here, than normal. I know we've been talking, but we needed to talk, guys.
We did.
It was worth it. What did I do with my...
Oh, before you move on, mm-hmm. once everything quote unquote gets back to normal and JL starts touring again, y'all actually go see him live. Because when we went to go see him in Raleigh with Nick Jew and Leonard Brothers, we had a motherfucking ball.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. We laughed so hard, man. I felt like white people weren't ready for the amount of laughing we did, but
they was not ready. It was like everybody else, and it was like this one table, and I think like some of the other comedians started focusing on us because we were just so loud. We like kind of everybody looked at us like, is it okay to laugh?
And for the record, not loud and disruptive, guys. No. Not loud and heckling, none of that. Good comedy fans, but I mean, you know, they was like, they like the shit that was funny, we were cracking up at, man.
Yes, I got a heavy heart laugh too, so I know it kind of echoed, but we
had
it
was a great time, man.
It was laughter, it wasn't call and response.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Like, oh, and then, okay, this is the last thing. Also, thank you to our fans, man. We have such, like, I really do believe, just like what JL said, we might not have the biggest fan base, we definitely have the best, though.
Yes.
And it's not even close. Like, we don't have dickheads and assholes in our fan base. We don't show up to comedy clubs and fucking heckle the comedian. We don't harass our guests. Mm-mm. You know, we support, you know, stuff. If, you know, we find somebody, who's doing good work or whatever, like, people will go out and listen. Our fans are, leave those reviews on people's shows. Our fans, like, they always make us so proud, and it feels like, your fan base is a reflection of the show that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why, you know, certain people are assholes, and then you meet you see their fans and you're like, well, makes sense, right? And, I always feel like, humbled and so honored by the way that you guys navigate out here, like online with each other and, online with, the people that come on the show. Thank you.
Yeah. Cause it makes a difference, because I know JL and some other comedians be on the show, be like, I did a show in the middle of nowhere and one of your fans just randomly was like, I am here.
Comedians, Janelle James, like Minnesota or some shit. And she's like, she DM'd me like, man, you know, you got fans in Minnesota. I'm like, I mean, we do have fans everywhere. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I did know that, but she's like, yeah, they come to the show. They like, they talk to me afterwards. It's dope.
It's not that just because there's a level of fan. There's a, I heard you on the show. Cool. Yeah. I'll follow you on Twitter. There's the, I heard you on the show. I'll download your album or I'll stream your album. And then there's the, I heard you on their show and I'll come to see your show.
Right.
And because what you said we don't, may not have the biggest fan base. You do have a solid fan base,
right,
but they are a higher grade quality, to put like drug terms.
Yeah.
It's a much higher quality cut of
we got
fans.
We got the blue meth of fans over here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's Walter Black. It's,
yeah.
you have that kind of fan, whereas other places have bigger fan bases and like, but the whole point is, if I kill it, here's a perfect example. Speaking of Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
A few years ago, I go to a club that's not closed, because that's what I do to clubs that book me.
they call them the closer for a bunch of reasons, guys.
Yes. a Corolla fan came up to me after the show and was like, hey, you were great. I've heard you on Corolla. And I go, oh, awesome. Did you come here? Like, oh, so you came because you heard I was going to be here. And he was like, no, total coincidence. And I was like, okay, well, then I don't know what the point of that was. Like, in other words, you could have just lied and been like, yes, you're flying yourself out to California to do podcasts, got you intentional fans. I was like, great, you just were here by accident? That's weird. Whereas your fans, like 2 years later, it was a guy and it was a couple.
Yeah.
And but they were your fans and they were there. They had already told me on Twitter, we're going to be at your show.
Aww.
And I'm like, that's the difference. Like, in other words, your fan base is, and I, you know, I want to give everybody a free pass. I'm sure you have some fans who don't go the extra mile, but I appreciate you anyway. But you have a lot of fans who that's why I always said to you when I was, DC was like the biggest place for that, where it was like, you know, oh, there's like 12, Black Eyed Tips fans. And I was like, you got to do a show in DC.
Yeah, you were right.
I'm getting 12 of your fans and I'm getting like 7 of my own.
Yeah.
That means like they're coming out to support your side projects, if you will. You know what I mean? It'd be like if you saw Hobbs and Shaw, then you're going to go watch The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of how it is. So like you, like incredible fan base. Like I said, a higher cut, a higher quality dosage of fan.
Yeah, you were right too, man, because when we went to DC, I was fucking shocked.
Me too.
Like, this is before, because we don't even know this shit, to be honest. Like, we started traveling just a couple years ago and doing live events and stuff, and it's like, you know, me and Karen look at each other like, what the fuck are all these people doing here?
Who are these people? Like, what is happening?
This is a lot of people.
Yeah.
In one place. I wonder what they're here for.
Right. Like, and then you hear your name and you'll be like, oh, I think they're here for us.
Yeah. So, alright. Now let me get into the news, guys. So, I think they must have taken down the COVID-19 playlist off of Spotify because I don't see it right now.
I think Tidal might have one.
Well, I don't feel like opening Tidal, guys. Just imagine a song, So Sick by Neo. Okay. Go play that on your streaming apps and then come back. All right.
Oh, boo. We have to find another one.
White House, Americans should avoid grocery shopping as coronavirus hits apex. The White House Coronavirus Task Force is now warning against even going out to buy groceries or medication as the pandemic is expected to hit a deadly apex in the coming 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks are extraordinarily important. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Deborah Birx warned at a press conference late Saturday. This is the moment to not be going to the grocery store, not be going to the pharmacy, but doing everything you can to keep your family and your friends safe, she warned.
So I guess pharmacies prescriptions are gonna be like, hey, just ship that shit to the house. People are starting gonna do them Hello Fresh, Blue Aprons, that harvest thing people were talking about, Hungry Harvest and stuff like that, just having more things delivered to the house.
I guess so. I don't know how on a short notice you can switch your pharmacy to delivery though. Like if you were going to the pharmacies, like you were going to CVS every month or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how, like, what do you do if you need medicine for the next, like, in the next 2 weeks? Just, you don't go to the pharmacy? Like, that's gonna be crazy. Right. That's a hell of a change.
Right. You pick it up and be like, hey, moving forward, just ship it to the house.
Yeah, can you call them or whatever and be like, hey, man, just send it to my house or whatever? I don't know. That's crazy. Yeah,
and a lot of them actually do it for free. They used to didn't be the standard, but I know for us, they sent, like, a text. It was like, hey, would you like your supply in 3 months? I don't know if they're starting to do that to kind of reduce people having to go.
Okay, I see people in the chat saying pharmacies are offering free delivery. Okay, cool. So I'll look at this. That's crazy, man. And of course now they're talking about the death toll rising because the Trump administration realized they weren't going to be able to just talk around it and hope it didn't work. I hope it didn't go through.
People going, do you see the dead bodies? Nah, we don't see it. It's a little too high. You can't look over it. Okay, guess we see them now.
So we've topped 8,500 deaths as of Saturday afternoon. I'm sure it's more now.
Of course.
More than 312,000 confirmed cases by Sunday morning. Easily the highest in the world. Number one in the world. Trump said we'd be number one.
Yeah, USA.
USA. We did it. This will probably be the toughest week between this week and next week, Trump told the White House press conference. There will be a lot of death. Unfortunately, there will be death, he warned. Mr. It's gonna disappear.
We're gonna be back by Easter.
Yeah, we'll never, it'll be like it was never here, this motherfucker. New York.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say the goalpost moving by him is stunning.
Yeah.
Because now I need to the sad thing is I don't need to remind your fan base.
I need to
find a way. Maybe this is my secret. Is I need to like reach some of these Trump people that are following me and be like, let's have a chat. Let's have like a town hall. I'll be Trump if Trump had a heart and a brain, and I can talk to you as Trump, but give you good advice. But he was saying like 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks. No, let's say 3 weeks ago, talking about, I think, was it H1N1? Was that swine flu?
Yeah.
And like, that was like 2009 or 2010. And it was like, it killed 11,000 Americans and we're worried about like 40 Americans now. Cause he's so dumb that he's like, well, right now he's basically talking like he's in a mall with an active shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's still out there killing. He's like, look, there's only two dead bodies here. We've had way worse things. While the guy's still like murdering people in the mall.
Right.
So he's talking about a final tally of 11,000 and comparing. Well, he's about to. And then when he gets to 100,000, he's going to say, they said it would have been 2 million if I didn't stop China. That's his big bullshit answer for everything is I stopped China. And he keeps making it this bigger and bigger decision to stop. Nobody wanted me to.
Right.
Well, I'm not doing the voice. I don't feel like doing the voice. Nobody wanted me to stop China, and I stopped it, and I stopped it quick. So we would have had, I'm being told, 4 billion dead Americans if I hadn't stopped China. So that's pretty great.
Yeah.
So how about a thank you? How about a thank you? And he's always looking for thank you. Like,
yes.
He's
get praise.
He is so, you know what he reminds me of? Like when I watch Netflix documentaries, he's like somewhere between like Joe Exotic, but then like there was a documentary about the Bikram yoga founder who was out sexually assaulting women where they kind of just, he kind of becomes their like leader and they just go with what he says. And also that fucking Wild Wild Country.
Yeah, I saw that. Series.
Yeah, he's like all those people.
Yes.
And his followers, because I don't even call them fans or supporters anymore. Yes. They are followers. They're cult member followers. It's like this dude couldn't be worse. Like we don't have a way to make you see, because he was just telling you that the swine flu, that was the real problem. Obama didn't do shit. Well, that's because it ended at 11,000.
Right.
You're like still going, you're going to fly by 11,000 with like a peak somewhere in six digits if we're lucky. And then he's not going to talk about Obama and the swine flu anymore. He's going to talk about the governors messed up and how this would have been 100 million dead people. And he compares it to like the 1918 flu just to make us feel better. Like in 1918, it was 100 million worldwide. So we're pretty good. Really? 1918 is like you're comparing yourselves to like that shit.
And that's also like the number now. Like he has like, that's the thing about malignant narcissists. They just tell the lie that they think makes them look good in the immediacy of the, like,
he's
that
only
moment.
Worried about right now.
Yes. Like it doesn't
lose
matter.
5 million people, if we lose 5 million people, I don't think that'll happen.
Right.
I pray it doesn't. But if we were to lose 5 million, I am not kidding. He will go to two things. He will go, you know, in 1918, it was 100 million, so that's pretty good. Right, when we had like no medicine. Congratulations.
Right, exactly.
And
right.
I could see him going. I like the joke version of him, which is getting closer to reality.
Yeah.
You know, we had something called the Holocaust, okay? And that was 6 million just Jewish people. It was like 12 million total. So for us to only lose 5 million total is like, it's very nasty that you're calling it a Holocaust, because the Holocaust was so much worse with 6 million. So I don't like that question. I don't like your tone, and we did a great job.
Yep.
And
he would absolutely, do it.
There is no point. There is no point where he checks himself. Like, he gave himself a 10 out of 10 on this. Like, he's giving himself an 8. Like, what do we do? Like,
but he give himself a 10 out of 10 on anything. Like, that's what he does. Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, it wouldn't even matter what the fucking measurement was. If we said, are you 10 feet tall? He'd say, I'm a 10 out of 10 on being 10 feet tall. He just, like, the sad part is, like you said, the followers, the people who are watching this shit and going, well, he said he's 10 feet tall. And, you know, even if I can see that he's 6 feet tall, I just fucking like the guy. And I mean, the press is just being unfair to him. Why are you even bringing up height? Like, it's those people that really truly enable this shit. Cause I 100% believe those motherfuckers are voting for him again. So like, that's, you know, there's like, I hope people don't think you can relax or not be vigilant. Like, motherfuckers gotta figure a way out to vote in November, whether it's mail in or go to the polls, whatever. That shit just has to happen, because unfortunately I don't see his fans going away, and they're so stupid. I believe if he held a rally today, they'd show up.
Of course.
Like, that's what
he
has.
They want to, because they'd be owning the libs.
Yeah.
They'd be showing that they're not listening to Fauci getting death threats,
bruh.
Like, what the fuck? Like,
the one dude is like, hey y'all, this is serious. He's like the canary in the coal mine the whole time, and was like, okay, what he said was dumb, I'm not gonna say that, but here are the facts. I'm just here for facts.
Yeah. 430,000 people, by the way, have traveled from China to the U.S. since the coronavirus outbreak.
What?
Right.
Yeah, but
we,
you know,
we shut it down quickly and very greatly. And they'll go, that's right. Cause you know, there's a billion people in China. So 430,000 is like nothing.
Right.
And he will say that. Like, what I did, if they bring that up at today's briefing, he will go, you know, there's like over a billion Chinese people. Like, we're not going to get it to zero, but we shut it down. We shut it down very quickly.
And
430,000 is like nothing compared to a billion. As if a billion Chinese people were going to come to America.
And they also said that even with what we know, some flights continued this past week, as the data show, with passengers traveling from Beijing to Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York, under government rules that allow Americans and some others to return despite the clampdown that took effect February 2nd. So, yeah, so it's not a total lockdown at all, you know. And since people can be asymptomatic, I mean, you can pass the screening even. And I don't think quarantine is like mandatory necessarily.
I think, and the thing is, in addition to all this, and I don't know if you have this in news, it's like Trump is still, you posted, I believe, an article about like some unqualified dude who he got on the lowest level of federal courts that they now want to bump up. Yeah. Obviously, they're in a hurry to get these morons bumped up to like high level courts before Trump's done. Mm-hmm. They want to put him on the DC circuit, which is the second most powerful court in the country. And so they're doing that. He gutted like the main fuel emission standard that Obama put in. All this, by the way, like we're dealing with an ecological and health crisis, and he's still doing things for like industry and fossil fuels to make sure that we're less healthy in the future. Like he's like making sure we have more crises to come. He just wants to make sure that those exist. He fired the inspector general who just did his job by filing the whistleblower and called him a disgrace. All this because, and then he can go to the people don't want to talk about this. They want to talk about the COVID. Like, and he's kind of right, but it's like he is clever in that way.
The
like
grift. I mean, the grift
smart, but he will do shit like this.
Well, it's just that the grift never stops, you know, like, and he can't stop himself, by the way. Like, I would even take it a step further and be like, he's not even clever. He can't stop himself. He's like, you know, it's like a coke addict who's hiding that they're addicted to coke because they show up to work every day, but then they do such a shitty coked up job that everyone knows they're on coke. But it's like, but you know what? He never stops showing up to work. It's like, yeah, that's not, I don't think that's like the plan. Like, I don't think that's part of the subterfuge. I think the motherfucker can't help themselves, and I don't think he can help himself, man. Like, and we unfortunately don't have in this crisis the bandwidth to cover it all. British
said the only other thing. I'm sorry, I keep going, but it's like he said a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know why these things don't get covered more. The expectations are so low for him now, but Fauci was saying one thing, and it was about like a few weeks ago when people were highlighting that there's like they're kind of contradicting each other. And Trump takes this tone that he thinks is like, listen to me being presidential and like conceding some points. He goes, you know, Dr. Fauci's a science, you know, a medical guy. He's into the, you know, he likes the data and they like the reports and they like to do the testing. And that's fine. That's fine. Like he goes, but I kind of have a feel and like, you know, I like to think and maybe see what happens. And I'm going, there's not two options for science. Fauci's doing it the scientific way. You're saying it like that's a style choice.
Conservative. You know, it's funny because reports
and testing. That's cool. I like to freestyle my science. You know, I'm more off the cuff. And he thinks that the way he's saying it, his tone is like, you see how presidential I'm being? I'm admitting that I have one of the right techniques, but not the only right technique. And isn't that generous of me? And it's like, that's insane.
Yep. Karen, what were you going to say?
I'm about to say, yes. It's like watercolors and crayons. Like, it's just a personal preference. You go, no, motherfucker, this is not the same.
Well, also, it's that thing, too, where, he's still gonna get his lie out there no matter what. Like, you know, when hydrochloroquine was saying it's like a miracle drug, it's gonna da-da-da, and then Fauci's like, we don't have any proof of that. There's anecdotal things that people have said work, but we have not actually put that into production. We don't know that actually works, blah blah. And then I saw that, I was watching that one live, and then Trump gets back on the mic to be like, yeah, well, you know, some say it doesn't work, some say it does. It's like, no, nigga, he said it doesn't work.
Chloroquine album, April 10th.
Yeah, chloroquine, cop it all, okay? We know people with lupus need it. Buy it all. Just go into the fucking pharmacy and steal it if you have to, whatever it takes. All right, let's see. Oh, Neiman Marcus is preparing to file for bankruptcy because nobody's shopping there because of coronavirus.
That shit's high, too.
British 5G towers are being set on fire. amid coronavirus conspiracy theories.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so that thing somebody was talking about, the 5G's, people were believing that bullshit?
I mean, apparently so.
We gonna fuck around and lose the one contact we do have, telephones.
5G phone masks are being set alight in the UK after online conspiracy theories have misleadingly linked the cell towers to the coronavirus pandemic. The BBC reports that at least three 5G towers were set alight within the last week. The police and fire services were called to extinguish the flames. So is the goal to not be able to use the phone after this?
Right.
So and then when you need someone to come, you need 911 to come get you for your coronavirus, that you're dying from, is there's no 5G service because we burned the fucking towers down. What kind of idiocracy level, like, skit are we living in?
And is the coronavirus outbreak near the 5G gonna go up because y'all probably had to get together as a team in order to do this? Last time I checked, I don't think one person could burn that bitch down.
It's good to know that the British have hoteps too. You know, I thought we had
worldwide, apparently.
I thought we had the monopoly on this, but apparently it's stupid anti-science motherfuckers over there too.
Illuminati is everywhere, apparently.
Yeah, you drinking the alkaline blurf. Jesus. Evangeline Lilly apologized for her dismissive, arrogant coronavirus comments.
I guess the mouse whispered in her ear.
Disney came through. Like, Mickey
was like, hey, can I say real
look
quick?
Look, we're trying to help you help yourself right now. Get the fuck off of Instagram, issue this apology,
and offline.
Just stay offline till we call you to come be the Wasp. Okay,
you like money, don't you?
I guess they told the Wasp to buzz off.
Hold on, I gotta get my sound effects up.
That's a good one.
I believe they told her to get lost.
Oh man. Yeah, I bet that had to sting.
That's a good one.
Oh man.
That's a good one.
But yeah, she go ahead.
I don't know why these celebrities do this. Sorry to interrupt. I'm just saying, like, I know they go viral. If some one famous person says something dumb, like, it's going to go viral. Like, who was the Disney girl woman? Like, she's now.
Oh, Vanessa Hudgens or something?
Yeah, where you're just like, why even? What do you do? I mean, maybe people start to feel. I can say this as somebody who got obviously a huge bump in my Twitter profile, and that's nothing compared to these 20 million followers that these Disney people and the Kardashian types have. Mm-hmm. I had to check myself. You know, you have to be like, oh, I could just tweet this and watch it go.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, let me stop myself before I fucking blow this whole career thing up because I went to my head without thinking right away.
But I think you probably reach a certain level where you're like, well, I always get this, like, every day. I tweet three times and I get a million retweets. So, like,
I have a theory about this, but I'm going to pause real quick. Okay, so my theory is this. Celebrities are people. That's my theory, guys. I know it's deep. I know it's annoying.
What?
I think not a lot of people are on this with me, but just by the nature of being a celebrity does not make them necessarily any smarter than the regular person. Right. And I've seen your Facebook pages. A lot of y'all dumbass friends are saying dumbass things that aren't, they just don't happen to have a million billion people to say it to.
Right.
But like, they're saying it to like 15 people and it's just as dumb as Vanessa Hudgens. Like, it's, you know, just like being a celebrity doesn't necessarily make these people any more educated and worldly than anyone else. And I think that's what happened with Evangeline Lilly. And the thing I can relate to in Evangeline Lilly's initial post was I know where it came from, in my opinion, and I think it came from a place of fuck Trump, not the way, like, people think it was on some like make America great again and never take our freedom. I think she was being like, fuck Trump, fuck everything he's saying, he's not gonna make, I don't believe him, and he's not gonna change the way I feel about the shit, because I'm gonna live my life. And the people are like, are you fucking stupid? Like, are you gonna get your kids and your father killed because you fucking, you know, want to be rebellious or whatever? Yeah, so she put, despite my intense trepidation over the socioeconomic and political repercussions of this course of action, please know I'm doing my part to flatten the curve, practicing social distancing and staying home with my family. Oh man, shout out to her PR agent. Mm-hmm. I want to offer my sincere, heartfelt apology for the insensitivity I showed in my previous post to the very real suffering and fear that has gripped the world through COVID-19. Grandparents, parents, children, sisters, and brothers are dying. The world is rallying to find a way to stop this very real threat, and my ensuing silence has sent a dismissive, arrogant, and cryptic message. My direct and special apology to those most affected by this pandemic. I never meant to hurt you. When I wrote that post 10 days ago, I thought I was infusing calm into hysteria. I can see now that I was projecting my own fears into an already fearful and traumatic situation. At the same time, I'm heartened by the beauty and humanity I see so many people demonstrating toward one another in this vulnerable time. When I was grappling with my own fears over social distancing, one kind, wise, and gracious person said for me, do it out of love, not fear, and it helped me to realize my place in all of this. Sending love to all of you, even if you can't return it right now. Yeah, I can see Disney PR people are fucking top notch. Let me tell you that much. Cause that, I don't know if they took over her account or they just said copy paste this into your Instagram and log the fuck out, because that's pretty much the perfect.
You spend it.
That's
now.
The perfect. I was wrong and I'm sorry and let me go on about my rich ass business. So
they was like, do whatever you want to fucking do, but don't do this dumb shit.
But it's social media and it's Twitter, so it's not like the people that are mad are never gonna be like, that's a good apology and
right,
I'm over it. So you know, you basically out.
Yeah, but people people like me, I'll be there for Ant-Man 45.
Oh well, that's the thing, they're still going, you know, assuming we have movie theaters come back at some point, they're still gonna go.
Yes,
you know.
Please come back. I don't think life will.
How about my AMC boycott? People mocked my AMC boycott, but now the whole thing's closed.
Yes, and they possibly gonna go out of business.
Well, I actually wanted to talk to you about that. I wanted to let you know I've joined your AMC boycott. Haven't been to the theater in quite some time. It's kind of like how I joined the Kaepernick NFL boycott by falling asleep on my couch every Sunday for about 6 hours and waking up like, there was football?
Welcome to the revolution, Rob.
Yeah, yes. We're doing it, guys. We're eating the rich over here, okay? Fuck Big AMC.
By the way, sorry, I got a quick update. Before when we came back, I was replying to a tweet. This is also my thing where people say, hey, great Trump impression, but as a Christian, I don't like you mocking my faith. Now, people who know me know that I go to church.
Right.
And I take it pretty seriously, but that I don't understand. I'm not mocking religion. I'm Donald Trump's ridiculously fake embrace of religion. You should be offended by him.
Right.
He does not care for your faith. He does not believe in anything of your faith. He is using you like a tool. That's offensive. Not me making fun of him for his lack of knowledge and lack of care and his total lack of humility.
Right.
But then it becomes, you are mocking my faith. And I, even though your impression is good, I put faith above all else, and this is offensive. And I'm like, and yet I'm guessing you're not offended by Trump and his complete mockery of faith.
Well, brother, I hate to,
and no, they never are.
I hate to go complete Randolph Terrence on you with the woke files here, but
yeah.
That's because their religion is white supremacy, you know, and by mocking Trump, you are mocking the white supremacist religion of Christianity and, you know, the evangelicals and what that means in America. These are people that support Trump while clearly saying that everything he stands for is ridiculous and anti-Christ, right? The guy who fucks strippers, gets them pregnant, wants abortions and signs NDAs and shit, is, you know, the guy who says 2 Corinthians, who never steps foot in church. That guy is a white,
who says that he would date his daughter if it wasn't his daughter.
Yes, but which, well, that's kind of in the Bible, but if the thing is, he says this shit, but they not listening to that part. The things they're listening to is, oh, he's locking up brown people at the border. He wants cops to beat black people over their head. He's, you know, trying to shut down the entire, he's being xenophobic towards the entire rest of the world. That's their religion. And so when you mock Trump and, you make the point that this guy's a hip comes to like faith, to them, that's like the biggest insult, is because what you're really picking on is my belief system of the inherent supremacy of whiteness. You know, because these are the same people that thought Barack Obama was a secret Muslim and an atheist, and shit like that. You know, it's like, why? Because he's black. Oh, okay.
Well, which still wouldn't be, because those were just socialist. Mm-hmm. Muslim socialist and atheist were ways of saying black.
Right.
But in ways that you could say, oh, I'm not a racist, but I'm an American, and with all this terrorism, I'm nervous about Muslims. Or I'm an American and I believe in capitalism, so socialism scares me. But it was like, if you, well, he goes to church, he's a Christian, he proclaims himself.
This is yet another attempt to.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. And he is an obvious capitalist. Mm-hmm. So not sure where you're getting all that. And then it was like, you know, I did a sketch a long time ago, which was the Tea Party dating service, which was people would date progressively blacker people their daughter would bring home progressively blacker people until they got to a full black guy. Mm-hmm. And the black guy was like a conservative, like a guy who actually voted for John McCain. So you like eased the parent who was a Tea Partier.
Right.
So I was the first, then a Dominican guy was the second date, and we got like progressively darker, but mm-hmm. more conservative. And then at the end of the video, like after the credits, the father looks at, you know, it's like one of those like reality shows where it's yeah. like, oh, we're taking off the mic, and he goes, socialist means black, right? And then that's
how the sketch ends. Yeah, but I remember that, because it's funny too when yeah. people go like, how much people are like, Bernie Sanders is a socialist, and they're like, that's what we want, that's what we need. And I'm like, yeah, one,
it's
there was
scary
not
with Bernie. It's like
right.
cute. It's cute with Bernie, but there with Obama, it was like an existential crisis because
yes.
it wasn't actually his economic philosophy. You were just looking for a politically okay term to say either the N-word or black. Like
right.
even most racists know you can't say you're racist.
Right.
Like they at least have, like Trump will say, instead of Trump will say 100 demeaning things about black people.
But he won't say the N-word.
I'm the least racist person, you know. And
right.
I'm always like, well, that's a ridiculous thing. Cause like, even if you're not, you're definitely not the least.
Right.
Like you.
my good friend, Ben Carson is like, that's not, yeah. We see what you did with Diamond and Silk. That's not going to help. But yeah, that it's funny though, because socialist for Obama was like a death knell, you know.
Right.
And then but socialist for Bernie Sanders, even people that don't fuck with him, it don't hit like that socialist they had for Obama. Even like when Fox News says a socialist, they want to take over the country. It's like it's not scary the same way it was when it was Obama. Here's a video of Fox News talking about the coronavirus.
Impeach the president. And sadly, it seems they care very little for any of the destruction they are leaving in their wake. We must test for the virus in order to.
So what you're seeing is March 9th and then March 13th. March 9th, this is just a plan to impeach the president. This isn't real. It's a hoax. Then March 13th, apparently the memo went out, and now we get this change of tone from the same anchor. And they do this with several anchors over the course of the entire video, which is about like a minute.
Stop the spread of it. What could be a very great recession? Some predicting even a depression.
At worst case scenario, it could be the flu.
I feel like the more I learn about this, the less there is to worry about.
I was about to say the same thing. We have immunity to this virus. It's a new virus. It's a pandemic strain of a virus we haven't seen before.
All the talk about coronavirus being so much more deadly doesn't reflect reality. Without a vaccine, the flu would be far more deadly. We are facing an incredibly contagious and dangerous virus that is moving across the world from one hotspot to another.
We're going to call out anyone and everyone who's using this virus as a political weapon against the president. The standard flu every single year kills tens of thousands of Americans. We are now entering what will be the crucial defining 15-day period as it relates to this virus, where we must slow the spread of coronavirus.
It's actually the safest time to fly. Everyone I know that's flying right now, terminals are pretty much dead. We have a responsibility to slow down this virus and to think of other people during this time. And so if you can keep your distance and prevent someone from getting close to you that might be sick, you could save your family, you can save the elderly, and help our country as a nation.
It is absolutely disgusting that Democrats are seeking to use this complex virus to score cheap political points.
This dangerous health crisis could dovetail quickly
into a political crisis, already feeling economic ramifications of it all.
Yeah, so that's what.
And the thing is about, I
was gonna say, the scary part to me is that is what like 40% of America is believing right now. You know what I mean? Like that, those people speak to a good portion of Americans and speak for a good portion of Americans. And so when we talk about this being an all hands on deck situation where we have to self isolate and all this stuff to beat this, as JL brought up, we're gonna have a segment of America that's like, we're owning the libs by going to church. We're fucking showing these, they just want to get rid of the president. That's all this is about. And they're not going to fucking get rid of Trump under my watch. So I'm going out.
And it won't matter because you're going to be dead.
Yeah, possibly.
I think that what's a crazy story, and I think the New York Times had it, was Lachlan Murdoch, who's the son, one of the sons of Rupert Murdoch, who sort of now runs Fox News. He's like the president of Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
He was advising, because these are high up corporate big shots. Like, they have direct lines to government and the president. They, you know, forgetting politics aside, these are major, you know, Obama would have had a similar thing, maybe not at Fox, but at other places. Like, when there's an emergency, a national emergency, you want to be able to talk to the head of the New York Times or the head of ABC or News or something. So that's not the abnormal part. What's crazy though is at the corporate level at Fox, at the corporate level of Fox News, they were like advising people to not troll, to wash their hands, to start this stuff like a month earlier. So they're actually like, that's not like they right. knew this, many examples. They knew that they were peddling purely political bullshit.
Right.
Yep.
Like they knew. They were practicing and telling their off-air employees, or even probably they might have been scripts to the on-air people, but I guarantee you Sean Hannity wasn't hanging out at bars and restaurants
right.
and like, you know, going to the gym and every, I guarantee you while they were still spewing that stuff on air just to keep their base rabidly defending whatever Trump was. So if Trump was saying it's no big deal, even though we secretly know it's a big fucking deal, tell all the assholes who watch us it's not a big deal
yep.
until it's too late, and then you tell them it's a big deal, and then hopefully they'll forget and say, nope, Hannity told me it was a big deal and I listened to him and he was telling the truth at the right time, you yep. know, like,
yeah. It's wild too, because I watched this documentary last year and it was about Fox News and how they operate, and I mean they do that with everything. You know, there's women there telling people on the air, like, it's a boy, like, if you can't handle it, a job working with men, then fucking shut up, bitch, like, lose a job. And then going right to the HR office, like, yeah, so this dude grabbed my ass and I'm gonna sue Fox News and I want Bill O'Reilly gone, or you gotta give me some type of settlement. Mm-hmm. And then hopping right back on the air and being like, there is no sexual harassment, it's all in your head. So like, they always have these double standards when it comes to this kind of shit, because they're all, you know, that, and I wonder if the only thing that stopped them was like, people are dying and it's gonna be our fans, because we're the ones telling them to fucking go out and die. Like, I wonder if they're like, oh, that's probably a bad strategy now that the numbers are coming in. What the fuck?
Yeah, and
yeah, when I saw Bombshell, oh, sorry, Karen.
Oh, go ahead, baby.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, when I saw Bombshell, I left the theater. And I remember seeing one of those maybe virtue signaling kind of conversations where somebody was like, to somebody else, not me, but like somebody had said something like, I don't give a fuck about Megyn Kelly. It's like, excuse me, are you saying that sexual harassment is okay, even if you disagree with the politics? My response to that, and I remember posting this online, I was like, can I be honest with you? I normally wouldn't take this. You know, I'm taking off the character misogynist JL hat and putting on the real JL who likes women hat. I'm not so mad if that's all she got.
Right.
Like, if she's out there spewing hate
right.
and telling other women with problems to fuck off and to be
right.
tough, and she's like spewing all this hateful garbage and towing the company line and doing real damage to our fabric as a society, if she felt uncomfortable because her boss, this isn't me advocating any kind of assault or this in any other case, but if you're asking me to feel bad, I'm not saying it's right. Roger
right.
Ailes was a pig. He's wrong. But if you're asking me to feel some extra sympathy, like, look, bad things happen, like Megyn Kelly felt uncomfortable at work also. I'm like, nah, I'm okay. Like, she should. Like, if there's some sort of karma, like, I'm not saying she should be punished or deal with physical, but if she's telling everybody else.
Right.
That their sexual harassment is bullshit.
Right.
Then I don't really, like, I don't look at that movie Bombshell and go, my God, he made her feel simple. I'm like, well, I don't know.
It's also,
like,
I'm
saying it's good.
Right. I totally understand what you're saying.
Sad for you.
I totally understand what you're saying. It's like when, Candace Owens brings up, like, you know, some racial, like, is, you know, it's racist that other commentators, or Stacey Dash, it's racist that these other commentators get to go on Fox and they get paid more than me and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Stacey Dash, you get on TV every day and say racism's not real, affirmative action doesn't need to exist, that you, like, you can't then say it's real when it comes to me. And that's what, and the thing that I hate is I hate that, like, progressive liberal strain of signaling that does the, like, I would not wish the coronavirus on my worst enemy. I don't care if Harvey Weinstein, what he did, no one deserves to be in prison and get coronavirus, because that's not it. That's not humane at all. And I'm like, this is why I don't really call myself liberal, because fuck him. Like, of all the people I need to be sympathetic to in the world, I don't care about him. I'm not Batman. Like, I don't have to have some moral code of how to live my life. Some people, it's fuck them. I don't, like, I remember when, they got Osama. You know, I'm not gonna celebrate. People are, it's sick. It's disgusting. People are celebrating in the street. He killed a lot of fucking people. People might not want that dude on the earth no more. Like, when did we lose that? Like, the impulse to be like, yeah, that, I'm not saying I killed it, but if he off earth, I'm cool with it. And that's kind of the thing, you know, that's why the Bombshell didn't work, was because you got a bunch of women that, and they never really truly self-interrogate, like, these women also promoted sexual harassment in the workplace. They also told people it was fine, and then it happened to them, and now they're like, oh my God, sexual harassment. We got to do something about this. And it's like, yeah, they didn't become heroes.
They're still getting on the air.
Right.
And still getting on the air, though.
Yes.
Because it's, hey, you know what? Welcome to the club. If you change your ways, it would have been nice if you'd had that empathy before.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Welcome to the resist movement, or welcome to the Me Too movement. But to then be harassed and then be like, no, but this $15 million a year paycheck is worth telling that.
Yeah,
their,
it's bullshit.
They can't hack it.
I just hate that shit because I know it's not true. When you do the, like, I wouldn't wish coronavirus on Harvey Weinstein. Anyone celebrating that? You're sick. I'm like, you're as bad as Harvey Weinstein. Like, no. I didn't rape 60 women. And, also fuck him, because I don't need to root for that guy and his prison stay. Like, it's so over the top. And that's how I think that's how you lose people, is when you try to do that, like I'm Jesus, turn the other cheek bullshit, you know? And I'm supposed to believe you want to kill rich people? You don't even want them to get the coronavirus in prison after raping people. Fuck you.
I sometimes do that, but not to that extent. That's like with me and the death penalty. I go, hey, if your family member gets killed, I'm not here to tell you, hey,
yeah,
don't think bad thoughts about that. I'm just saying my personal belief.
Yeah, no, no, the death penalty is, like, the death penalty is racist in implementation.
Correct.
And it's not 100% foolproof, so we can't really trust it. There's innocent people on death row, all that shit. Everyone is right. Everyone who makes those arguments is 100% correct. Here's the thing. If you kill a motherfucker I know, I don't care. If you're Dylan Roof, right. I don't care. Like, it's like, I, right. Like, and that, and because I think what happens is, on the principled stance, they feel like we can't even allow for that type of human emotion, because if we do, we're going to lose the bigger argument, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but I feel like you're losing the bigger argument because you don't allow for the fact that there's some extreme cases that would warrant a motherfucker needing to go, you know? Like, but anyway, all that stuff to say, that's how that Bombshell shit felt to me. But I'm not done with the clips, by the way. I got one more clip, and then we'll move into Guess the Race, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is Dr. Drew, who you guys may know from, he used to be on Love Line with Adam Carolla.
Yes. That's years ago, yeah.
Celebrity Rehab, I think. He also did that.
I think that this is going to be worse than the flu.
Way less virulent than the flu. So it's a reminder that you're more likely to die of influenza. So go ahead and get your flu shots. Mild. Doesn't hurt anybody. That should be the headline. Way less serious than influenza. That's the headline.
You know what the 2% lethality thing is you have there? Are you talking about the coronavirus? I think it's less than 2%. It's like 0.02%. Less dangerous than influenza. Less dangerous than influenza. Your probability of dying from coronavirus, much higher being hit by an asteroid, I would say.
The flu virus in this country is vastly more consequential, and nobody is talking about
this
that.
This corona thing doesn't worry me
it is,
at all.
It is a press-induced panic. I am angry about it. It is the flu.
If you're under 65 and you get it, you're going to have the flu, and you're going to be fine.
Oh my
it's going to be just like the flu. It's going to be almost identical. I can see it coming.
The way Americans in 2020 panic is to hoard toilet paper.
Right.
And
toilet paper and
antibacterial gel.
Right. In response to the flu, right?
It's a flu, and it's a different flu. And if you notice, it's Corona 19, which means there's at least been 18 of these other ones.
Oh, yeah.
Movies.
Why do you think, like, the NBA now discussing the idea of playing without fans? And UCLA today announcing that their sports are going to be without fans.
I think that's a mistake.
Should the Olympics be canceled? That's funny.
Have you noticed less people out on the streets?
Oh, absolutely. Less people in the trains, for sure. Well, they told them, de Blasio told them not to ride the trains.
Right.
So they're not riding the trains. And so I am. I mean, it's ridiculous. Say we do have 100,000 deaths in the country. Remember, we get 30,000 deaths from the flu. This is going to be, we predicted from the beginning that this is going to be worse than the flu. So we'd have to at least have 30,000 deaths for it to be worse than the flu.
But do we wait till 20,000 people die and then start panicking?
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
That's the point. It's not.
I believe you.
It's not going to happen.
So now we know why him and Adam Carolla
are friends. He has apologized.
Yeah, he has apologized since then. By the way, that last comment was...
And he's a real doctor, right? With the letters behind his name?
Yeah. Yeah, he's done celebrity rehab.
You know what's more lethal than coronavirus? Being one of his patients in celebrity rehab.
He dropped a 4-minute apology video, which I'm not playing. You said what you said.
And you said it apparently on like a dozen shows.
Right.
You know what I mean? That wasn't like one interview. That was like he was just going on a tour of like, nope, nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing.
He did all.
But that's how you get money
tour.
Because everybody's saying it's something. So you're just saying the thing that not as many people are saying, and when people are afraid, they want to hear that it's nothing.
Yep.
So there's a market for that idea.
Oh my God. Yeah. We are fucked.
And before we move on, we was talking about like the Fox News clips and they're scared that they're going to be sued, and I understand because just because some of these older people that may die from it listening to you, some of their kids might not fuck with y'all and might be like, look, my mom and them sitting here and watch this bullshit and I don't give a fuck about Fox News. You're accountable for their goddamn death. Yep. I had to argue with them not to go to church. I had to argue with them and they spewed the bullshit y'all were putting out there. So I hope they get a goddamn class action lawsuit. Fuck them.
Mm-mm-mm.
That'd be awesome.
Dr. Drew, man, I didn't even realize this had happened. Like, this is I was like all those clips and shit, I made me go look up an article about him. Like, what the fuck happened to Dr. Drew? I'm like, oh, apparently he ain't been shit for quite some time, man.
Can I do a rebuttal, a Republican Trump fan rebuttal to Dr. Drew?
Okay.
Like, your complaints about him? What about Dr. Dre? Talking about murder.
That's a good
talking
point.
About bitches.
True.
You think that's good? Both sides.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
I mean,
I have been giving Dr. Dre a pass my whole life.
I mean, more people have died from the chronic than the coronavirus.
That might not be factually accurate, but I don't
think
we need.
I mean, his shit wouldn't either.
I don't think we need facts in an argument. You know, I think we both have two different beautiful points of view that we can agree have equal weight. I just go off of hunches and you go off of science. That's fine. All right, we've talked a long time. I'm gonna get in the guest array so we can start wrapping it up, man. Because I don't want to turn this into some 3-hour show, but it's been fun, guys.
It has.
I'm gonna skip fucking with black people and.
I've been fucked with enough.
Some of the segments. Let's get to this. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, JL Covan from Making Podcasts Great Again, and Karen to guess the race. And of course, all the people playing in the chat room play along, and they're all racist. All right, let's get to the first one, guys. Walmart's mystery deodorant liquor is allegedly found.
Oh.
A Missouri man who allegedly filmed himself licking a bunch of deodorant for sale at Walmart is now charged with making terrorist threats. Police in Warrenton, 55 miles west of St. Louis, said they received reports about the March 11th video from as far away as the Netherlands before arresting a 26-year-old local man, identified as Cody Lee Fifster. Of Warrenton. The man in the video licks the deodorant after looking at the camera and asking, who's scared of coronavirus? Fifster knowingly caused a false belief or fear that a condition involving danger to life existed, read court documents, which accused him of acting with reckless disregard of the risk causing the evacuation, quarantine, or closure of any portion of the store. Fifster has prior convictions for burglary, firearm theft, disorderly conduct, and DUI. They said that we would like to thank all those who reported the video so the issue could be addressed, said the police. Karen, guess the race of Cody Fister.
White. Good old fashioned American pie white.
Okay. All right. What about you, JL?
I'm gonna go with Kid Rock white.
Kid Rock white. Okay. Let's see, who raised you white, YT, Fox News fan white, are y'all saying he was as white as those deodorant sticks he was licking on, sounds white, one of those Tiger King white, strong enough for deodorant but made for coronavirus white, whiter than the sun deprived legs, so you hate yourself, huh, white. The correct answer is, there's more guesses, aluminum tongue white, last name Fister, browser, dreams white, thought that tussy deodorant red, pussy illiterate white, Cody exotic white, 2520, whitewash, white, cracker white, YT, and it's the pits white. The correct answer is white. Man, the people that think this shit is a game are like, it's like uncanny. They're all white people that do the shit where they like go to a store and try to like post up there. Is the picture showing up yet?
It's slowly moving.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's our boy over there, Cody Fister.
Oh.
Yeah.
He is kind of Tiger King, like Tiger King boyfriend white.
Yes. Right.
He would date him, yes. Even marry him.
Yeah, definitely.
The one without the teeth. The one without the teeth.
Yeah. Like, definitely was straight before meeting Tiger King, but that was also before doing meth, so now he's not. all right, let's do another one. Let's see here. How about this one? Georgia man. Oh wait, no, nah, that's kind of depressing. I don't know. Let me find a different one. let's see. How about okay, here's one. This didn't really happen, so it's not that depressing. A Donaldson woman charged after she lied about her non-existent daughter's shooting death, the police say. A Donaldson woman has been arrested on false reporting charges after police say she fabricated a story about the shooting death of her baby who doesn't exist. They shot my baby! Metro Nashville police say Glenna Brooke Pinkerton, 32, told detectives her infant daughter was fatally shot in the head by Pinkerton's ex-boyfriend and was buried in a shallow grave in Two Rivers Park near Donelson in March 2018. It's always a shallow grave, ain't it? No one goes the full 6 feet anymore, man.
Apparently not.
You gotta, I'm thinking when you're murdering somebody, put in the extra time. You know, like, do you want to get caught?
Ugh. I mean, a good rain and that's it.
These, who knows how many people only got away with murder because they just put in that American work ethic, put in that extra time, said, I'm gonna go the extra like 3 feet on this and really cover up this crime. You know, it's really sad what's happened to Americans and our work ethic. Anyway, Pinkerton took detectives to the park and showed them where she allegedly buried her daughter. Last week, Metro Nashville Police Department officers combed the area with a cadaver dog and an investigator from the medical examiner's office, but turned up nothing. During a follow-up interview with Pinkerton, the release says she admitted to concocting the story and said she had never given birth. When authorities questioned the woman and asked why she lied, she said, attention, I guess. Pinkerton was released from jail after posting a $3,000 bond after her arrest on Tuesday. She's scheduled to appear before a judge April 17th. Karen, guess the race of Miss Glenna Brooke Pinkerton.
I'm going white.
All right, Karen's going white. JL Covan, what about you?
I'm going black.
All right, let's check the chat room. Was her ex-boyfriend black? Remember Ed, remember Eminem, but forgot Dre, white. Carol Baskin, white. Pinkerton Pinky, white. Susan Smith, white. Susan Smith, that's a black story. White babies don't get shot. So what was your end game, ma'am? I'll say black. White, white, white. They didn't check to see if she's a baby. Shot a baby. Pinkerton, white. No father in the baby's life, even though it was a fake baby. I guess that's black, Rob. Is that black? You didn't say the race. Has an imaginary boyfriend, white, white. She's a white. Young Metro, black. I'm not getting booed. Pinky toe, white. Man, a lot. This was a very divisive one here. Karen, you went white. Mm-hmm. JL went black. Mm-hmm. The correct answer is she was white. Now I do have to boo everybody who said black.
Yeah, I did because the name was kind of, but I'm like, they believed her off rip. They didn't confirm that if she had a baby or not. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, we got you, ma'am.
And they went and wasted all those police resources just on her.
Right. And, you know, she got a jail bond. They didn't, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to charge her, but yeah. It's one of the things where you're going, ma'am.
I mean, I'm surprised they didn't just look at her and go, there's no way you got knocked up, ma'am. Please stop wasting police resources.
Remember Eminem? That is Eminem.
Yeah, she got like something going on with her haircut, too, that just says crazy. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is happening here?
Yep. So all right, now we have Karen's up 2-1 going in the bonus round. Let's see if JL can catch up. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round to guess the race. So far, JL is 1-1. Karen is 2-0. But let's see how they do in the bonus round. All right, guys, here we go. Wait, do I have both pictures? Okay, I do. Wait. I don't even know what race these people are.
Duh.
Some ambiguous looking motherfuckers. I'm going back. Hold up. Let's get a different one. How about how about this one then? What is this? Law enforcement chase stolen bobcat down busy North Carolina roads.
Aww.
Wilmington, North Carolina, an 18-year-old man is accused of leading multiple agencies on a unique pursuit through the Wilmington area Wednesday night. Video submitted by WECT viewers Sheldon Hamilton and Chris Gore show multiple law enforcement vehicles on College Road. Amid the blue police lights, you can see a white Bobcat pass with a trail of patrol cars behind it.
How fast was that bitch going? The Bobcat is not a small thing.
Wilmington police say the driver was operating a skid steer loader erratically, and that's when the sheriff's office began to pursue him. WPD became involved when the driver crossed in the city limits. The chase went up Military Cutoff Road to Gordon to College to Lennon to Market and over to Cardinal before deputies subdued the suspect near the Inland Green subdivision.
Goddamn!
According to Lieutenant Brewer, a Darius Walker was taken into custody. He has been charged with resist, delay, obstruct public officers, reckless driving to endanger, fail to heed light slash siren, no operations license, impede traffic, sit, stand, lie, highway, fail to stop, steady red light.
Sit, stand, lie.
Yep. There are no reports of damage involved in the incident. Law enforcement doesn't believe Walker will use drugs or alcohol prior to the last night's chase. A representative for Herc Rentals on Market Street said the Bobcat was to the company and was stolen from a construction site at Mayfair Shopping Center. The Wilmington Police Department has not yet confirmed that the Bobcat was stolen. Oh, what, you think it was his? All right. Let's guess the race here, Karen.
Black.
JL.
Black.
Check the chat room. Duh, Tiger Kang. Black. Crime says white. Name says black. Black. Kimber Walker, black. Running from the cops, black, and a Bobcat, white. Tried to be the first black Tiger King. Jaquan, exotic black. Aww. Darius got the wrong kind of cougar. Blake, Bobcat, gold, white. Darius is black, black. Farm theft, auto, black. Ate all his quarantine edibles in one night, black. Junebug, black. Ride till he can't no more, black. Blacked. Believes he can cure corona with black seed oil and an orange peels black. Aww. Could not take a real Bobcat nigga shit. Call 1-800 college to get that heavy equipment license. The credit is, you guys had a lot of good funny answers. He was black. Oh wait, there you go. Some of you did miss it, though. Say what, Karen?
A Darius did that.
Yeah. Now, I think they should hire him. I mean, this young man knows how to drive a Bobcat that well, enough to avoid police for several streets. Somebody, he should be working on somebody's construction site.
He must have been flying on that thing.
I wonder if maybe like he was owed a paycheck or something from the construction site,
right?
And he was just like, you know what, motherfuckers, I'm gonna get my paycheck in Bobcat tea, okay?
I'm gonna take some collateral.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the last thing, guys. It's time for some sword ratchetness. Alright, a man pleads not guilty in alleged sword attack at Camarillo couple's home. A Camarillo man, or is it Camarillo? I don't know. Charged with attempted murder after allegedly assaulting a couple with a sword last month, pleaded not guilty to all the charges Friday morning. Stephen Gilbert Montijo, 29, appeared in Ventura County Superior Court for the hearing, which was conducted using Zoom video conferencing. I wonder if it got bombed with dicks and Nazis.
That's what Zoom known for now.
Matteo, who has been charged with by the Ventura County District Attorney's Office with one count of attempted murder, one count of aggravated mayhem, and one count of assault with a deadly weapon in March 26 incident. Special allegations include use of deadly weapon and great bodily injury during commission of a felony. The session was heard by Commissioner William Redmond. Matteo or is it Monty Joe? I don't know. Pleaded not guilty to all accounts and denied all priors and special allegations. Court records show he was represented by Ventura County Public Defender. That's, I mean, not guilty to everything. How's that even fucking possible? You know what I mean? Like, man, it's a complete setup. Wasn't me. I don't know what the fuck happened. Did someone look just like me? Like, what is this? The outsider? Like, motherfucker, you either did that shit or you didn't.
Right.
So no, there's no in between on this. Montillo pleaded not guilty. Deputy District Attorney Benjamin Marino, the lead prosecutor, successfully requested GPS monitoring if he's released on bail. In addition, a protective no contact order barring any contact with the victim was served. He allegedly asked the couple outside their home, attacked them outside their home on March 26th. He reportedly used a large sword in the incident. He had apparently walked to their home from a nearby relative's house where he was living or staying. The husband and wife, who were both struck by the sword, were treated at the hospital for injury. So how'd they get injured if this, okay, we're not life threatening?
You didn't attack them.
Like, what the fuck? It wasn't me. I just happened to be visiting and living with a relative who lives in the immediate vicinity. They were both hit with swords. But it wasn't me, not guilty on all counts. Please put me back on the streets. And they did, because we don't take sword crime seriously.
No, we don't.
All right, man. Thank you so much for, and if you're listening, yes, he was. He was white. Thank you so much, JL, for coming out,
thank
man.
You,
we appreciate
JL.
You. I've been a swamp week.
Y'all go support JL.
Yeah, tell everybody where to come find, you know, all your stuff.
Sure. I guess right now the best place to go, I have a website, jlcomedy.com, but I think the three things that won't cost you a dime to support me. I got two podcasts. We got Making Podcasts Great Again, which is my podcast is Trump. Get on that. Be an early investor still. I'm still counting anybody who jumps on now as an early fan. Not a platinum level early fan, but still an early fan. Righteous Prick Podcast, also weekly. Righteous PK is the way to look it up ever since I relaunched it. And then go check out a bunch of videos on my YouTube and subscribe. YouTube.com/JLCAUVIN. Lots of good stuff. Won't cost you a cent.
Follow him on Twitter too, man. That's where the videos are blowing up, and YouTube is blowing up as well. So make sure you follow him on there too. It's JL Covan, all one word. Before we leave, man, can you just give me one, this is how I win. I need this in my life. I feel like, this is my new favorite JL Covan impression.
Oh, okay.
Is Adam Sandler from from
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. And because gambling was shut down, I don't get my weekly fix of JL's gambling addiction and this is how I win.
Gotcha. Okay, so we'll talk to Donald Trump. Adam Sandler trying to convince Donald Trump. What I want is I want to bet on how many coronavirus are going to die tomorrow. Okay, and I want to parlay it. Okay, DT, I got this, and I want to parlay it with how many members of your cabinet get sick. This is how I win.
Thank you so
Wonderful.
Much, man.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.